జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురువన్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి హదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యోన్వయాదిదరదాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్టే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది గవయే ముహ్యంది యత్సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పకరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాహం. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మైదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అద్యాల్పదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం. సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేన్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నా కనికాభి కావికాభి. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్నిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമീ കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസ്വരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ മുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നമാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപ്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ ദുഃഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാപരമന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസ്വരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ This chapter Devasura Sambad Vibhaga Yogam Krishna mentions first certain qualifications for necessary which mean Krishna talks about that specifically certain qualification certain specific qualifications Krishna says is conducive for self realization as he mentioned yesterday that the 15th chapter Krishna finishes the shastram the 16th the 17th the 18th they are called khilam khilam means that certain things what one may have certain deficiencies in one's nature in order to overcome that these three chapters were spoken 16 17 and 18 that's why you will see if you look at the topics that is discussed here In this chapter, Krishna talks about the modes of nature. In the next chapter, Krishna talks about the divisions of the faith, isn't it? Divisions of the faith. Shraddha. Shraddha is what is discussed in the next chapter. Satyugi Shraddha, Rajasi Shraddha, Tamasik Shraddha. What does Shraddha means? So that is what is discussed. So if Shraddha is not correct, then there will be a problem. Similarly, if the modes of nature, like the divine and demonic nature, divine nature is conducive for spiritual life, demonic nature is not. And finally, in the 18th chapter, Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita. So, the Shastram is finished in 15, but in the 16th chapter, you can see that specific qualities, what is an essential, Krishna thinks is for favorable for self-realization. So, in that verse, Krishna started with Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vivasthiti, Dhanam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyaya Stava Arjavam. That is the first verse. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So, here, first thing Krishna talks about is Abhayam. So, in the important thing is that in every chapter, Krishna says this thing. You can see the beginning of the chapter itself, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. What is important here is the person who is saying this is important. In spiritual life, the person who is saying is important. In the spiritual Brahma Vidya or Adhyalpa Vidya, Avareena Avareena Prokta Yesha Suvijnayam Bahudha Chindya, Shastram says that Shastram. Bahudha Chindya, what is spoken is not important, who is speaking is important. What is spoken is not important, but who is speaking is important. Because in Yoga Vasishtam, you will see this, Mahapurusha, great personalities, if you are with them, even if you talk politics, or even if you joke with them, there is no harm. Even that can become a salsangam with the great personalities. Because it is not necessary that they have to talk from Bhagavad Gita or from Bhagavadam or from the Upanishads. Svaira kathasnesham upadesham bhavandi. That even if material topics are discussed by them and even if they joke with us, in fact, if they are situated in the platform of the knowledge, platform of the self, Then, if you go and associate with them and you come back, it will appear as though you have bathed in the Ganga river. That effect is there because of their association. That fulfillment will happen. That is a big difference that we won't understand till we meet those personalities like that. Even if they are realized souls, just by being in their association alone, even if other topics were discussed, still it will have a drastic effect on us. So, sometimes great Mahalpas, they are like that. They may say so many things. They might abuse us or they may scold us in so many ways. But all that is considered to be a blessing. All that is considered to be a blessing. That is the way it is. So, there are examples like that. We mentioned also before, Seshadri Swamiji, one personality like that who lived in Trivannamalai many years ago. He used to be like that, that he will often, he will curse people or he will criticize people very heavily. But some people will understand, some people cannot understand that. But the answer is that if you accept it with bhakti, with a devotion, it will do good. And whatever they may say or do is always a blessing for the ordinary people. Practically what we have to understand is, Krishna is present in this world in different forms. And there is Krishna traveling in a human form, And because they don't have the false ego inside anymore, and they are just an instrument in Krishna's hands, whatever they do to this human society, it will always turn out to be good for others. That is the way it happens. So, as I mentioned this story before, a person came to see Seshadri Swamiji to see him in Tirunamalai, and he came and arrived in the train and got down from the station. And he asked someone after getting, this was way back, probably about 70 years ago, this incident happened, 70, 80 years back. So, he asked at the railway station, where can he see this Seshadri Swamiji? Somebody told him in the railway station that he, if you go into the temple in Tirunamalai, main Shiva temple, walk inside, there is a small Subramanya temple there. He normally sits there or he sleeps outside that temple. If you will find him there, he told him like that. And this was the place where when you walk into the temple, you will see there, Arunagiri Nathar had the darshan of Lord Subramanya. And Subramanya, and he revealed Subramanya's form to the king who was present there, Praudadevaraya. That was the king who was present in those days. And he gave the darshanam, Subramanya gave darshanam to this king in that spot. So, and that temple, which is known as Kambathalayanar temple as it is called today, and that is where he normally slept. Seshadri Swamiji, he slept there. So, you will find him there, he said. So, this person, he was looking for someone to carry his luggage. He has come from the big city. So, somebody had to carry his luggage to his accommodation, guest house or hotel or wherever he was staying. So, there was a beggar there. He came up to him and asked him for a small amount of money from him. And he didn't offer anything to him. So, he went back. Anyway, he managed to get into this temple. When he got there and he asked somebody, there was another beggar sitting there. He asked him that, where is Seshadri Swamiji? So, he said that he was here a few minutes ago. He just went into the temple, he said. To the main temple he has gone into. So he walked all the way to the main temple, and when he inquired there, in them days there were not so many people like today. There were very few people inside the temple. So walked into the main temple and he inquired from them, and somebody told him he was here a few minutes ago, but he has just left. Possibly he is there with, there is one old lady who used to prepare food and sell to the devotees who come to the temple. And he might be there because he normally takes his food there, he said. So he went to this old lady's place where she was preparing the meals. He went there and asked them, and she said, yes, he was here just a few minutes back. He left. He washed his hands and he left this place a few minutes ago. So like this, this inquiry went on for a while. He couldn't find him. After a while, somebody told him that, I just seen him going to the top of the hill, Tirunamalai, main hill, big hill. So, he went to the hill looking for him. This person has specifically come to see Seshadri Swamiji. So, he went and walked around all over the hill through the walk path. He went to the walking route all the way to the top of the hill, inquired there, but it was getting dark. Then he came back home. And next day, again, he started the inquiry. He specifically wanted to see him more than going into the temple or seeing the deity. He was more interested in seeing Seshadri Swamiji. So he went there. Again, next day, he asked someone. He told him, I have just seen him in the main street. He was there. But I don't know where he is, but he was there a few minutes ago. Like this, 3 days, he wandered around looking for this Seshadri Swamiji here. Ultimately, he sat there and he started realizing something has happened. That is why I'm not able to see him. Why should this happen otherwise? Every time he asks people, they say he has just come and gone. But he couldn't find him. So, he sat in one place and he started saying himself, within himself, he started seeing this, that if I have committed any offenses to you, you have to forgive me. I am an ignorant person, came from the city, not knowing the how to deal with people. I may have done some offenses, otherwise this should not have happened. So, he was crying like this, sitting there, and he was feeling highly affected by this. And at that time, someone came up to him and said, look, the Seshadri Swamiji you are inquiring after, he is there on the street, he is sitting there, he said. immediately got up and went there looking for him. When he went there, he saw there was one beggar sitting on the street, right in the middle of the street. A lot of people were standing around him. And he was in a great shock to see that the person who asked, begged for money from him last night in the railway station, to whom he refused to give any money, that person is sitting there and whom he never thought that will be Seshadri Swamiji himself. So that is when he mentions there that people are saying like this, that when he saw this situation, he was in a great shock. Because when he got down from the station, railway station, this person has come and asked for some money, a small amount. But he replied him that, you have got such a good health, why don't you go and do some work? This is how most of the people are, isn't it? We say to people, why doesn't he work? We are all working and earning and making a living. Why doesn't he do that? In the same way he told him like that. So, at that time, that beggar who was Seshadri Swamiji himself, he smiled and went away from there. So he was wanted to teach this lesson to him, that one day somebody is a beggar and another time he may be in another form. But the vastu inside the beggar and the vastu inside in the rich person is the same. Is it not? Atma. Atma is the same. So, but when he comes in the beggar's form, we put another show to him. When we go to the temple and see the deity with all the opulences, we think, oh, deity we should worship, but not this form. Not this form. So, deliberately, Seshadri Swamiji has done this to make him understand that while we are dealing with this world, that we have to be careful with people. We have to be careful with people. Our so-called bhakti, when it goes to the temple, when that bhakti is not there in dealing with others, then our bhakti is bogus. It's not bhakti. When we go to the temple and show all the devotion and bhakti to the deity, but when we deal with other living entities in this world, we deal with them in a very harsh way, not knowing that Krishna is present inside them. And that is why the Mahatmas, they teach us this lesson, sometimes in a very hard way. We have to learn that, isn't it? So, the deity, when Krishna comes in the deity form, we are willing to accept him. But when Krishna comes in another form, we find it difficult to accept that there is a Krishna present in that person. We have a difficulty in accepting that, isn't it? That is our impurity inside. That is why we say Chitta Shuddhi is not there. So, you can see in the Bhagavatam, because specifically for this reason only, that the first class devotee is that person who sees Krishna's presence in everyone. Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Altmana Bhudani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama. It's all right going to the temple, seeing the deity and paying obeisances to the deity, offerings to the deity. But when we see Krishna in another body present in front of us, if we do not give any respect to that form, whatever it may be, that means our spiritual life is not going very well. So here that is what has happened. Seshadri Swamiji wanted to make him aware of that. That you were thinking about deity and you were thinking, wanted to see Seshadri. He had formed some impression about Seshadri Swamiji in his own mind. And that he was thinking that he can only be in that form. He couldn't come in another form. So, this is what Krishna is going to talk about in this verse. When we talk about Abhayam, just like we say that we talk about why don't people work? We say like that, isn't it? So, because when we say that, we have this ego in us, that it's because of my cleverness, I'm earning well. Or this kind of thoughts is behind it, but we don't say that. But keeping that, we make this comment about others. Why doesn't he do work? A full day's work like we all do, and make a living in the proper way. So, So sometimes you will see when you, this was a story in one of the magazines, I read that when they were circumambulating a hill, devotees were circumambulating the hill, you will see on the way there are so many sannyasis, old people who have left home and who had come to spend their final days in life in some austere way with some control of the mind and senses and living on what Krishna has provided for them on that particular day. There are so many people who live like that in so many different places, in so many different temples and ashrams. You will see people living like that, simply dependent on Krishna's grace and surviving in this world in that way. They may not have everything on time, food, shelter, all this. They will sleep at somewhere wherever they could get a shelter. So this is quite normal in traditionally. And sometimes people who come from the city, they are coming to see the temple, visit the temple, have a darshanam, and then they walk around the hill on a parikramam. When they are doing like Govardhana parikramam or the Tirunavala hill, also you will see all these things. So once it so happened, there were two persons who came from the town, from the city, big city they had come, and they were going on a parikrama of the hill. While parikrama, some old babajis, or they were begging for food. So one of them made a comment that why should they not go to work? Why are they becoming lazy like this? The whole country is suffering because they are so lazy. They don't do any work. And this impression was, they expressed this openly to them. So the other person who was with him, he told him, that first of all, we should pay our obeisances to them, he said. Those who haven't. Why? The reason is this, he said, that let's pay our obeisances to them, because if they also come into the job market, competition will go up first. At least they are keeping away from the job market, isn't it? Already, and that they are satisfied if you give them a small amount of money. They will take it and they'll go away. They won't bother you. But instead, already there is shortage of jobs. Always there is shortage of jobs, isn't it? So, if they come into this job market, your salary will go down. There will be people who will be willing to do the job at cheaper prices. So, best thing is not to get into this kind of argument with people. And if we go into arguments, that we will feel later on that we are the criminals, because we have gone to the deity in the temple, we have prayed what we want to pray and paid our obeisances. That's another thing. But the destiny of people who had fortunate enough to move away from this competitive world and to move into spiritual life, they are more fortunate that they were able to do that, which we couldn't do. Is it not? So, that is what it is saying here, that many instances, how they will instruct people is unknown. Among the many Babajis and people like that, there will be a few who will be more on a spiritually advanced stage, which we may not know, like Seshadri Swamiji is one among them like that. But you won't notice it, their presence. You won't understand them. And therefore, many great personalities who have that perfection, siddhis in them, directly they will not instruct us. But what they do is, they will expose us, our nature, what we actually are. That's what they do. They won't instruct you directly, but they will expose you. Your duplicity, your hypocrisy, and your state of consciousness, they will expose that to the world. And that is how they bless us. And that, if you are able to accept that as a mercy, as a grace from Krishna, Krishna's grace, that is, that they expose our impurities inside. So this always happens. This quite often, when you go to the many holy places, especially many important holy places, this can still happen. We don't know who people are there. So, and in one instance about Seshadri Swamiji, well, a person has spoken about this. that this person, when he was a very small child, when he lived in that area, when he was a little boy, and his mother used to feed him with rice and other things, Seshadri Swamiji used to walk that way, and he will come and he will ask the mother for some food at that time. So the mother used to give the baby some food and also to Seshadri Swamiji also. Seshadri Swamiji said that bless the child while living, that you should live 100 years with full health. Like that, he blessed him. And that person is still living in Delhi even today. And he is over 100 years old. He still lives there. So like this, their words will never go wasted. It's always like that. They have that. So this is why Krishna mentions this. If you look into association with sadhu, what does that mean? Isn't it? Look into the second chapter on the 11th canto. What Krishna says there. That is the most misunderstood chapter also. Sometimes we are thinking that association with a realized soul means somewhere he is sitting in a 5-star hotel in a room which is already booked and his disciples around him, and that is where all the realized people are going there. You make an appointment and go and see him and he will receive you there. But unfortunately it doesn't happen like that. You can see that verse if you look into the second chapter on the 11th canto. Krishna is saying that he says here that the Kavi Maharshi, Videha Uvacham, that is second chapter, verse 30. Videho vacham durlabham 29 durlabho manusho deho dehinam kshanabangura tatravi durlabham manye vaigunda priyadarshanam ada atyandiyam kshemam prichamo bhavato anakaha samsaresmin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhirnurnam. That is that verse. Ada atyandiyam kshemam prichamo bhavato anakaha samsaresmin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhirnurnam. Who is asking this question? Nimi. Nimi is asking, saying this to the Navayogis, isn't it? Nimi is saying this. King Nimi, who is Videha. Videha means who have no bodily identity. That is why they are called Videha. All the kings who are in the lineage of Janaka in Mithila, they are called Videhas. Shuga Brahmarshi mentions that in the Bhagavadam. Because of Sita Devi's birth there, everyone who has appeared in that family, they were all Videha. Videha means they have no contact with the body. Right from birth itself, they are self-realized. Janaka is one among them. But they are called Videham. Videha means no contact with the Deham. No contact with the body by birth itself. They are such person. Nimi was one among them. So Nimi is asking this, saying this to who? To the Navayogis. He says, Durlabho manusho deho dehinam kshanabhanguram. Human body is very, very rare thing, and that too, when we get it, it's only a short period of time. Atatrabi durlabham manye vaigunda priya darshanam. In that short period of time, to come into contact with a realized soul is a very rare thing. Very, very rare thing it happens, isn't it? Ada atyandigan kshemam. What is the ultimate beneficial welfare for someone like us? What is the benefit for him? Atyandiyam kshemam, greatest welfare. Bhavado anakha, O sinless people, please tell us that. Samsaresmin kshanardhobi. Even in our material existence, while we are here, kshanardhobi, even for a very small period of time, salsangam shevathir nranam. Salsangam is the one that will give us some shelter, satsangam. So he says like this, salsangam shevadir nranam. He says, dharman bhagavadan bruda yadina shrudaya kshamam ay prasanna prabannaya dasya dhyatmanam apeja. That is what Videha, King Videha, Anmi asked this question to, questions to Navayogis, isn't it? సో ఈ సేస్ లైక్ దిస్ క్షణమార్థేవి సంసార క్షణమార్థవి సో సంసారసంగ శేవధర నృణాం ఈ సేస్ ఈవన్ ఏ స్మాల్ షార్ట్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ క్షణార్థం ఫర్ అ వెరీ షార్ట్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఇఫ్ యూ రిసీవ్ సల్సంగం దట్ ఈస్ అ గ్రేట్ ట్రెషర్ మహాపురుష దర్శనం ఆపర్చునిటీ టు సీ ఏ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్ ఈవన్ ఫర్ అ షార్ట్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఈవన్ జస్ట్ అన్ ఐ కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ అ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్ ఆర్ సమ్ హౌ సమ్ కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ అ రియలైజ్డ్ పర్సన్ దట్ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ఏ గ్రేట్ బ్లెస్సింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ వై వి మెన్షన్ బిఫోర్ దట్ ది ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ అ జ్ఞాని ఆర్ అ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ హిస్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ అ గ్రేట్ బెనడిక్షన్ టు ద వరల్డ్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్ ఈదర్ దట్ ఈస్ ద వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఏ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్ ఈస్ నాట్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ నాట్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్ ఈదర్ ఈసన్ ఇట్ ఇన్ రియాలిటీ వేర్ ఈస్ హీ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ దెన్ హీ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ది బ్రహ్మం బ్రహ్మ స్టేట్ బ్రహ్మం రియలైజ్డ్ స్టేట్ ఈసన్ ఇట్ సో అండ్ బై దేర్ వెరీ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ దే హ్యావ్ దే బ్లెస్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఎల్స్ హూ అప్రోచెస్ దమ్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ నెసెసరీ దాట్ స్పెసిఫికలీ హీ హ్యాస్ టు గివ్ యూ ఏ స్పెషల్ మెర్సీ మెయిన్ రీజన్ ఫార్ దాట్ ఈస్ దే ఆర్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ సచ్ అ వే దాట్ దే డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ఈగో ఇన్సైడ్ ద ట్రేస్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నాట్ అ ట్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇన్సైడ్ నోర్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్ నోర్ ద బాడీ వాట్ వీ కాల్ ఇట్ ఎస్ ఏకదేశీయ సత్తా దిస్ ఈస్ ద వర్డ్ దే యూస్ ఇన్ ద శాస్త్రం ఏకదేశీయ సత్తా మీన్స్ దట్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఎనీ మోర్ లిమిటెడ్ టు బాడీ ఆర్ ద మైండ్ జస్ట్ లైక్ వీఆర్ రిమెంబర్ వెన్ వీ టాక్ అబౌట్ అక్షర పురుష అండ్ పురుషోత్తమ దే హ్యావ్ గోన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ది అక్షర పురుష లెవెల్ ఈవన్ దట్ దోస్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ లైక్ దాట్ that ekadeshiya satta means that you are limited within the body and your all your realizations are still limited within the body it has not gone beyond the body so that ekadeshiya satta goes away and they reach that state what is known as sarvadeshiya satta like we talk about shuga brahmarshi jadabharata datatreya navayogis they are all in that state they belong to a different category altogether they gone beyond the akshara purusha state they come to this state of purushottama that they you can't limit them to one body on one particular place date of birth and all these things you can't identify with them you can't impose it on them they are appear like navayogis you can see in the bhagavatam they appear in front of nimi and they disappeared from there and if you look into bhagavatam they will say the speciality of those personalities if you look into the same chapter verse 23 avyaha deshta gadaya sura siddha sadya gandharva yaksha narakinnara nagalokan muktal charandi muni charana bhutanada vidyadara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam what does that mean it means avyaha deshta gadaya sura siddha sadya they can travel anywhere they want they come to the earthly planet they will accept a body for this place where they want if they want to meet a person then they will accept a body when they go to they can travel to sura siddha sadhya gandharva yaksha nara kinnara nagalokan to all these planets they can travel and they can accept the body there when they go to those places whatever body is necessary to be present in that particular place that is what it's saying about the specifically spoken like this about the navayogis avyaha deshta gadaya sura siddha sadhya gandharva yaksha nara kinnara nagalokan because they are all different all of them have different type of bodies kinnaras are different yakshas are different gandharvas are different and nagas are different demigods are different so they all have different bodies so these navayogis who are liberated souls and they can accept the body what they want when they go to any of these planets mukta ascharandi they are always liberated state mukta ascharandi muni charana bhutanada vidyadara dvijagavam that they will go into all these different planets muni charanas bhutanadas vidyadaras dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam and they can accept the body what is necessary to fulfill their needs or desires whatever that is there in them So that is why that verse was spoken prior to this, about to show to us that these are not ordinary people like what we think about others, about the realized soul. They are not ordinary people. They are very special people. Is it not? Their consciousness, like Shukha Brahmarshi said about Shishugan, says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it, about him, tam sarvabhuta hridayam, that state. Sarvabhuta hridayam vini manatosmi. Jadavarda, Dattataya, Navayogis, they are all like, Rishabhadev, they are all like that, in that state. So, it is based on that, you can see here that they are not ordinary in the sense that they are not situated in the body. How will you address them? Which body will you, whom will you identify them? They can't have a passport or anything, can they? What will they say about that? So, their presence and whatever that comes from them, it will always be a benediction to others, blessings to others. So, when we have that reverence towards them in that way, when we hear from them, Shravanam happens from them, then that's very important. That's very important. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, every chapter in the beginning specifically spoken Shri Bhagavan Vacha, for this reason. To know that who he is speaking is important. What he is speaking is not important. Who is speaking? That's more important. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Vedavyasa Maharshi could have said, Krishna has spoken, or Vasudeva has spoken, Narayana has spoken, any names could have spoken. No. Specifically uses Shri Bhagavan Vacha everywhere. For this reason only. Because to show to us what is his state, Krishna's state, that is important. So, Bhagavad Gita is coming from Bhagavan, isn't it? From Krishna it's coming. And Krishna is the speaker, Bhagavan is the speaker, and it is Krishna's words. The reason for that is, whatever Krishna has spoken, that there cannot be any fault or mistake or error in what he has spoken. That acceptance is important. There is no question of analyzing Bhagavad Gita's verses. It means nothing. First thing is to accept that Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Bhagavan, Krishna himself. And there is no error or fault or mistake or anything in those verses. And there is no impurities in those words. And there is no anartham in anything, whatever Krishna has spoken. It cannot be there. Therefore, it is Vedam. It is Vedic knowledge, isn't it? And it is perfect. Knowing in that way, you have to enter into this chapter. With this background, you have to enter in this chapter. That is why, if there is something amazing in this chapter, it is this thing, this first word itself, Abhayam. Krishna is saying Abhayam. Abhayam is the first qualification Krishna is talking about there, isn't it? Krishna is talking about. So, what is Abhayam means? What Krishna offers to us is Abhayam. That is Abhayam. What Krishna offers to us is Abhayam. Although it is said fearlessness. Fearlessness, yes. How is that fearlessness coming from? It's coming from Krishna's shelter. Being taken Krishna's shelter. So, and this is the mercy or grace or benediction that we have to get from Krishna. We have to get from Krishna. In Ramayanam, when Ramachandra gave Abhayam to Vibhishana, isn't it? Vibhishana came, asked for shelter. Ramachandra gave him shelter. Ramachandra says at that time, Abhayam sarvabhudebhyo dadami etat vratam mama. Abhayam sarvabhudebhyo dadami etat vratam mama. My decision is that for anyone who takes shelter, I will give him shelter. Whether it is Vibhishana or even if it is Ravana, he says. That is Krishna's position. It's always like that. Ramchandra's position is like that. Abhayam, it's a very important verse in the Ramayana. Abhayam sarvabhudebhyo dadami edat mama pradam. It is my decision. No matter who comes to me, I will give him shelter. This has to be kept in mind while reading this word, Abhayam. It is on the background of that, this Abhayam. That means, till you take shelter of Krishna, all these qualifications what Krishna is going to say will not happen. There again, surrender, bhakti, all this comes there, isn't it? So that is why this verse is important. If you look into Prabhupada's purport also, Prabhupada mentions there that what does abhayam mean? Have a look at that. When Prabhupada says there that the abhayam is, so we look into the 1, 2, 3, 4, this is the fifth or sixth, sixth paragraph, I think. Not in the translation, in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning there, even if I live, one must thus have from firm conviction that Krishna as Paramatma will take care of a soul surrendered to him. I shall never be alone. One should think, even if I live in the darkest regions of a forest, I shall be accompanied by Krishna and he will give me all protection. That conviction is called abhayam. That is abhayam. Fearlessness. This state of mind is necessary for a person in the renounced order of life. It's not only for the renounced order, for everyone it applies. But because Prabhupada spoke in terms of varnashrama dharmam here in this chapter, it's not that only sannyasis have to feel that. No, we all have to feel that. Because in order that other qualifications, what Krishna is going to talk about, in order that to have its effect on us, this is the first understanding of abhayam. Like Ramachandra told Vibhishana, Vibhishana was not a sannyasi then, but he told Vibhishana that abhaya sarvabhudebhyo dadami edad vratam mama, I give shelter to everyone. And particularly in sannyasa ashram, that of course, particularly in the sannyasa ashram, it is like that. When they take sannyasam, this is what the sannyasa mantra is, abhayam sarvabhudebhyaha. A sannyasi is supposed to take this vow that nobody need to be frightened about me anymore in this world. This is a sannyasi mantra. Nobody need to be frightened about me anymore. Abhayam sarvabhudebhyaha. Abhayam mataha. Because I am not there anymore in this world to compete with anyone. Be frightened about others because we find that he is in competition with me. Is it not? Therefore, there is always fear. It's normal in this world. But sannyasis are supposed to make others feel that they are not in competition anymore. They are not in competition anymore. I am not here to fight with anybody. That's there. One of the mantram. That means there is no more ragadvesham in them. They are supposed to be free from ragadvesham. So that is why this word abhayam, in other way you will translate it, it is absolute security. Absolute security. That means that's another word for abhayam. Because you will see in the Bhagavadam how this abhayam is spoken. If you look into the same second chapter in the 11th canto, where if you look into the verse 37, what does Krishna, they say, Kavi Maharshi says this, bhayam, bhayam is fear. Dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishat abhetasya viparyayo smriti. Tanmaya yato buddha abhajetam bhaktekayesham guru devatalma. That verse. Where is bhayam coming from? Fear. Fear coming from bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal. It is from duality fear comes. Suppose there is a second person, only then the first person will be frightened about the second one. Is it not? Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Why? Ishad abedasya vipareyo smriti. That he has forgotten who he is. That is where this fear has come. Tanmaya yedo buddha abhajetvam bhaktega yesham guru devadalma. So, as long as there is two, there will be fear. As long as there is two, there will be fear. If there is no, there is only one, who will be fearful about whom? There's only one. In reality, there is only one. So this is this abhayam or bhayam what he's talking about here, talked about in the Bhagavatam also, which is spoken as bhayam, is not the biological fear what we have. Our fear is biological, isn't it? So it's a psychological fear. Because just like if you know on the bodily level, if you touch the fire, it will burn. So that knowledge is necessary and you cannot live in this world without that. So you have to stay away from that. Similarly, if you say that you're walking through the street and you say, I'm fearless, I'm not frightened about anybody, and you walk in the middle of the road, and if you get hit by a car or a truck or anything, you can't say that I'm fearless, isn't it? That's not fearless, that is recklessness. It's not fearlessness, it's recklessness, isn't it? So there, what it is that our Shraddha or attention is somewhere else. That sometimes you can see people, they put this microphone on both the ear and they can't hear anything and they're walking through the road. When they're crossing the traffic lights and all that, zebra crossings, you see, they don't give any attention and sometimes accidents happen in that way. So real abhayam or fearlessness, that is where Vedam, Upanishads also talk about that. Bedram Shunyama Devaha. In the Upanishads you will see that. So it is not even actually an emotion in the mind. Instead it's a state. That means that to know that I do not die. There is no death for me. And that is this abhayam. This abhayam Krishna is talking about is like that. That there is no such thing called death. Death is for the body. To know that, that is this abhayam Krishna is talking about here. First thing, being surrendered to Krishna and to be conscious all the time that Krishna is with me, as Paramatma Super Soul Andaryami present inside. And always Krishna will shelter me, give me protection. This total faith and trust in Krishna's words is called abhayam. Is called abhayam. So it is this abhayam keeping in mind Krishna is talking about beginning this chapter. And you can see that all these qualifications what Krishna is talking about here is important for those who are executing sadhana. Abhayam, sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga, vivasthiti, dhyanam, dhamascha, yajnascha, swadhyayam, tapasya, arjava. This is what in this verse Krishna has covered. So whole thing begins with abhayam. So look at abhayam in this way, not based on a fearlessness. This just doesn't mean that word alone doesn't carry the message. Fearlessness doesn't carry that. Abhayam's real import of the word abhayam. Abhayam is telling us that unless you take Krishna shelter, abhayam is not possible. So that means totally surrendered and dependent on Krishna. That is abhayam. Number one. Number two, to know this, that fearful about somebody else is due to what? Because there is a second thing existing. That's why you are frightened about a second person. But there is no second person here. There is only one Atma who is present in everyone. And maybe existing in different bodies. That is another thing. That is on a bodily level. But on a spiritual platform, there is no separate thing. There is only one consciousness which is present in everyone. And that is what it is. Bhayam didiyal. Bhayam is coming from this. Kavi Maharshi mentions that, isn't it? Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Ishat apedasya vibhayayo smriti. That when you forget that oneness of the reality of oneness, then duality comes in. Dvandvam comes. And dvandvam means fear. Has to be there. Always you will be fearful about something or somebody, some object or some other person or some form. Fear will exist in Dvaitam. That is the nature of the Dvaitam. You can't take it away from Dvaitam. That is why, we'll come to that later, that Krishna mentions here that Abhaya Sattvam Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga Vivasthiti Dhanam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyaya Stava Arjavam. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see this in the 12th chapter, in the 18th chapter, and even in this chapter, Krishna is talking about certain qualifications, certain qualities necessary, he says there. Ramanujacharya calls them, these qualities, as the qualities of the soul, Atma Gunam. That's how Ramanujacharya addresses them. Said, it is those qualifications, because they are not qualifications meant for our material society, for surviving in the society. These qualifications are specifically required for self-realization. That is why it is called Atma Gunam. Ramanujacharya has called them as Atma Gunam, for self-realization, he says there. So people, anyone who have come to spiritual life, their path may be different. Somebody is following Jnana Margam, somebody is following Yoga Margam, somebody is following Bhakti Margam, somebody is following Karma Margam. Process may be different, but the goal ultimately is one. So these are qualifications that will help us to make us qualified for that process, whatever it may be you have taken up. So, in the yogi process, they will also say, Vedantis will say that Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, like that. They call it a Sadhana Chatushtayam. In the Jnana Margam, they call it Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sadhana Chatushtayam means that these qualifications, they say that it will help us to realize this truth, and that is going to be spoken later, and that is important for them. It is important for them that particularly in Jnana Yoga, this is why Bhakti Yoga does not put any preconditions like that. Jnana Yoga does. Jnana Yoga does. That is why he mentions like this. If all these qualifications, what has been spoken, it says, if it is there, Eshu, then, Adhigarinam Ashaste Balasiddhi Visheshada Upayam Deshakaladhyam Sandhyasmin Sahakarina. Says that success depends for in the Jnana Margam. Adhigarinam Ashaste Balasiddhi Visheshada. If you have the qualifications, your result will be there. But if the qualifications are not there, the result won't be there either. Upayam Deshakaladhyam Sandhyasmin Sahakarinam. That the other things are, that means time, place and other things, other issues are secondary. They are secondary. Time, place and other issues are secondary. What's more important is our own qualifications. That's more important. Our own qualification. Now you can see why Jnana Margam is not for everyone. It's not possible for everyone. That is why it mentions like this, that sadhananyatra chatvari kathidhani manishivhi yeshu sasteva sannishta yadabhave na siddhyadi. So the sages have spoken four kinds of attainment. Only in that case this will have its effect. That the reason is that this is an important thing to understand. You know, unless you understand spiritual life in this way, it's always bewildering to us. It's sometimes confusing. Ajahn Swami mentions in the Vega Chudamani these things. He's saying there, first develop these qualities. And if the qualities are there, self-realization is not so difficult. But the qualification is not there, then till that qualifications are there, you got to wait. There's nothing, you can't rush into it. But often we make this mistake. We think that we are qualified. That's where difficulty comes. We are not qualified. We have to accept that first. We have so much impurities inside, which doesn't go away very easily. So, if you have the qualities, he's saying that it is very Yeshu Satseva Sannishtam Yad Abhave Na Siddhyadi, he says. If it is there, Eshu Satseva Sannishta. If you have that nishta, that fixedness, fixed nature in you, in these qualities, if you have that what they call fixity or fixed in that, then there is no problem, he says. But yad abhave na siddhyati, if you don't have them, you won't get it. He's saying that in the very beginning of the Viveka Chudamani. He's saying, sadhana anyatra chatvari, four kinds of thing, what the jnanis refer to. Sadhana chatushtayam. So, kathidani manishibhi, spoken by the highly realized souls, manishina. Manishina means highly thoughtful, intelligent people. Yeshu satseva sannishta, yad abhave na siddhyati. That it is only possible for those who have got nishta. Nishta means they are fixed in these things. And yad abhave na siddhyati. And what are they? The four things, what we generally spoken. Nityam anitya vastu vivekam. Ability to discriminate always what is temporary and what is permanent. When you start discriminating, what do you come up with the answer? Nothing is permanent here. What is permanent is only the self. Is it not? Awareness, consciousness is the only permanent thing. Everything else is temporary. To be in that state all the time. Nitya anitya vastu vivekam. Then what else? Iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Then absolutely no desire for any kind of sensual enjoyment in this world. Not looking for any kind of sensual happiness. Not only here, not even desiring for heavenly planets. To that degree of renunciation and detachment from this world. Iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Then what else? Shamam damadi shal sambatti. Shamam damam tidiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam. Six things. What is spoken here? All six of them. Shamam, controlling the mind. Damam, controlling senses. And tidiksha, extreme tolerance to everything. Uparadi. Uparadi means able to hold on to the truth. All moment. Shraddha, total attention to surrender to the spiritual master and the shastram. Samadhanam, always in that peaceful state to exist. These are all preliminary requirements prior to studying the shastram. So, shamadamadi shal sambatti, above all, he says, mumukshatvam, intense desire to get liberated from this material world once for all, not to come back here. So, he says here, adau nityanitya vastu vivegam pariganyate, and ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam tadanandaram, shamadamadi shal sambatti, mumukshatvam idispudam. That is that verse about that. So, here, important thing to understand from this is that, if you have all these things, he says there is no problem. Things will happen. But if you don't have them, then in their abhavam, in their absence, it won't happen. He's saying this. So, this is the reason why we don't get it. Why we don't get it. For example, nowadays, compared to say about 50, 60 years ago, the facilities have increased a lot, isn't it? All books are available. In printed format, translations, purports, and whatever you are looking for in spiritual life, as far as tools are concerned, there is no shortage. You can't say that. Never a time in the history books were available like the way it's available today in spiritual, for those who come to spiritual life. Is it not? It's available and in abundance at prices which most of the people can afford to buy. What else we have got? Cassettes. CDs, iPads, and iPhones, and beyond all that, websites with any information what you want about spiritual life. It's all there, isn't it? Every tradition, all you have to do, take 1 or 2 minutes to Google, and you will get the answer. It's everything there on the web, is it not? Never existed this facility any time in the history in the past. Can you imagine a situation like this? We don't appreciate that. We think we take it for granted, isn't it? But it's there. It's there for us. And it's available. And any book you want, you can download it now. Most of the books you can download. And all knowledge, if you want to, somebody says about someone in the, or somebody tells you, all you have to go home is to Google about him. Put the name down and you will get the whole history about him. What all nonsense he has done in the past. Good things he has done, and you'll tell you without no, you don't have to inquire even. All information is on the web about everyone, isn't it? So, therefore, this facility never existed before. But with all these facilities, you can see that people are advancing in all other fields, isn't it? All other material life. Like if you see some of the young people, it makes you envious about their power of knowledge and their speed at which they have the information on their fingertips. They know a lot more than what you know when you were in that age. They put you off completely in that way, isn't it? And sometimes when the small children, how they handle the computers and all these phones and iPads and all that, you feel ashamed. You don't want to go anywhere closer to them. Stay away from them, isn't it? And they understand all these things so fast. Small children, how fast they understand. In spite of all these things, why it's not happening in spiritual life in the same way? Self-realization is not happening. All other fields, it has helped. This modern technology has helped all other fields. Like when you are driving around, when I go to London, I'm still carrying my old map and looking at it. Nobody else has got maps now, I think. Maps are not available also now because it's gone out of business. Nobody's buying maps anymore. Everybody has got their Google phone or thing and like this, they're doing like that. And they get their route everywhere. They know where they are. Here you are right in the middle of this road trying to find out where you are. So you can see you've gone behind a lot, but they've gone so far. And that way it has changed people's life in every activity. Same thing in the college, schools, universities, everywhere. How the students with so easily they are able to get the information what they want, and it made their life also quite different than when we struggled with the college, is it not? So this thing that information technology, the way it has influenced the world and cleverness, it couldn't do anything with the spiritual life. It couldn't do anything with the spiritual life. Because if it has happened, if you go out on the street, you should be seeing some liberated souls there. You don't see that. That same rare nature of the spirituality is still there. It hasn't really taken anyone into that state of realization. It hasn't helped. It hasn't helped. Because looking at this progress that we have made in information technology, you should have been seeing a lot of realized souls in this world. But it hasn't happened, isn't it? So they have information about spiritual life. Plenty of information from the web. It's available. Plenty, and lot of techniques, processes, what's available. And it is giving some sort of relief to people, those who are used to that, collecting information. Like you can see, when you look at the Mayapur TV, so many devotees are listening to so many programs. You can listen to Los Angeles to Sydney, all the temples program on the web, isn't it? On the web. So it is more like here that that's only acting like a shock absorber. You are suffering in this world, it gives you some relief when you go into all these kind of things, isn't it? And in the same way, you can see also Salsangam, yoga and everything is like a shock absorber. It gives you some relief from your material existence, in your material existence. But if it is like that, in spite of all this, why it is that we do not get established in the truth? This is the question. This is the question. And that is the most difficult thing, isn't it? That perfection what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, perfection and that freedom and that bliss or shanti what Krishna is saying here, or in the last chapter Krishna called it as kritakrityata. You remember? The last verse, idam tu me guhyatamam. The last verse, kritakrityata, he says there, isn't it? That kritakrityata is not happening. Why? That's the question we have to ask, isn't it? Because it's an important thing that everything else has changed in life, but spiritual life is still going on in the same way. And Krishna puts that in the Bhagavad Gita in a different way. If you look into the sixth chapter, which is a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying there, yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tata. You will see that verse in the sixth chapter. Guru nabhi vijayate, he is saying. That is verse number 6. Yeah, 20 to 23 together it is, isn't it? So Yam Labdhua Chavaram Labham Manyade Nadhigam Tata Yasmin Stido Nadukhena Guru Napi Vijayate. That is that important verse. Prabhupada used to mention this verse very often. You will see if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, you will see that. Yam Labdhua Chavaram Labham Manyade Nadhigam Tata Yasmin Stido Nadukhena Guru Napi Vijayate. That's what is expected. That's what is Krishna is expecting from us. It's not happening. Yasmin stido na dukhena guru naapi vijayate. Even the greatest turmoil happens in life. Yasmin stido na dukhena. Able to stay above the any kind of distress. Able to stay above that. That is yoga state. That's what Krishna says. That even the greatest disaster happens in life, it does not disturb inside. Yasmin stido na dukhena guru naapi vijayate. Guru naapi vijayate. Tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samyidam. In the next verse, Krishna is saying that tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samyidam. And sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa sangalpa prabhavan kaman stektuan sarvan sheshadam manasena indriya gramam viniyamya samantada. So Krishna is saying that if you have realized anything in spiritual life, this will be your state. This state. We are, in spite of so many classes, so many listening, a small thing is disturbing us. Isn't it? A slight something goes wrong in life, we are disturbed straight away. That is what the problem is. Yam labdhua chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tada yasmin stido na nivartande guru napi vijayate. It's an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If it is not happening, then where is all our effort, everything, how much it has influenced our spiritual life? That's what it is indicating to us. That's what it's indicating to us. This is the problem. Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tada yasmin guru yasmin stido na nivartande guru napi vijayate tam vidya dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samyidam. Though in this sixth chapter, Krishna is referring to this in that particular way. So, Krishna himself has defined it, what spiritual life is. Krishna has defined it himself, what spiritual life is, isn't it? So, by reaching that state, where you are not looking for any more profit after that, nothing else to gain in this world anymore, yasmin sthidena, and one who is situated in that state, no matter how great the distress is, He will not be affected by that. Yasmin sthidona dukhena guru napi vijayate tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyidam, he says. And that is how Krishna defines yoga system. Now, in spite of all these information technology and all the facilities what we have, has this happened? This hasn't happened. Instead, what has happened? It's the opposite. They are more disturbed than any time before. When we didn't have all these things, the disturbance was not. Now that there is more information pouring in from all over the world, it's disturbing more to everyone. So, important thing is, Krishna is saying there, that Kritakrityada in the last chapter, what Krishna spoke about, that Shanti, Nishta, or perfection, Purnata, that or fulfillment, and why it is not happening. Rishis are saying to us that we are finding, those who have followed the Varnashrama Dharmam also, even they are finding, who have followed the tradition of the Rishis, even they are finding it difficult to conduct their family life even peacefully. What to talk about everything else? Even simple family life has become very difficult to conduct that peaceful. And even their Ragam Dvesham. Even their Raga Dvesham. And why it is not happening? That is why Acharya mentions here that Adhikari Margena Bala Siddhir Visheshaha. That Adhikari Margam, Adhikari Margate, that Adhikaritvam is not there. That is why.
That is why it is important. Adhikarithvam is important. We simply tend to ignore that. We think that adhikarithvam, I am adhikari, I am qualified, I am alright. And if he tells me what I have to do, I will do. That is not how it is. This adhikarithvam is such an important thing in self-realization, particularly in the jnana margam. Bhakti margam is a common for everyone, so there is not specifically anything anybody can take to bhakti process. But jnana margam, when we are talking about it, this adhikarithvam is extremely important. Extremely important. So that is why Acharya mentions there, adhikari margase balasiddhir visheshada. If adhikarithvam is there, qualification is there, then result also will be very, very fast. And it will happen. It will happen. That is this point. So somebody asked this question to Maharshi. He said to him, I should attain the truth, he said. So Maharshi told him, truth need not be attained. It's already there. There's nothing to attain. The truth is concerned. But then the person said that, but I'm not experiencing that. Maharshi says to him, you deserve it. You deserve it and then own it. That's what his answer was. So even if we get to come to close contact with some great Mahatma, more important is making ourselves qualified for to receiving that. That's more important. And that is why it's so important to look into ourselves all the time and to see where change is necessary. So adhikarithvam Krishna mentions there. So in this Krishna is saying here that become qualified. So when we read these verses, this is what we have to keep it in mind, that he says that satyam means truth comes to us not by practicing it, by accepting it. You remember we discussed this. Acceptance is more important than the other things, isn't it? So this is the topic that is discussed in the Bhagavatam when we discuss Rukmini Devi's marriage to Krishna. You know how nicely Shukha Brahmarshi puts it through Rukmini's life. Rukmini wanted to marry Krishna. From Srinarada Maharshi and others, Rukmini heard about Krishna's glories and he wanted to marry Krishna. What did Rukmini do first thing? Rukmini did not do anything else. First thing Rukmini did was Rukmini accepted Krishna as her husband. That the acceptance is more important than anything else. Rukmini said, you are my husband. Krishna is my husband. And if you don't accept me, I'm going to give up my life. Said to Krishna like that. In the message, if you see Shutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shrunvadamte, the famous 8 or 10 verses there, the message he sent through that Brahmana, the Brahmana from the Vidarbha province where she comes from, Vidarbha. So she is the princess of the Vidarbha royal family. So she found this Brahmana to send the message to Krishna, who traveled to Dwaraka to see Krishna and to deliver this message. What was the message? Message is very simple. Simple message was this. Rukmini said to, what is, Krishna asked Brahmana, what was the message? Brahmana started reading out the letter. Krishna told the Brahmana, you read the letter. Normally, suppose somebody sends you a message, you won't ask somebody else to read it for you. We did. But Krishna says there to Brahmana, you read the letter, he said. So Brahmana read out the letter. That's why we got the letter. Otherwise, you would not know what is written in the letter. Isn't it? So fortunately, Krishna asked Brahmana to read the letter. And this is the beginning of that word. Shrutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shrunvadamte. That I have heard about you and I have accepted you as my husband. That's it. That is the message. So similarly, what it is telling us is, Jiva, in the same way, that if Jiva accepts Krishna as a shelter, Krishna, what happened to Rukmini? Krishna took the chariot and the army and went to Vidarbha. And when she was going to the temple in the morning, they made the arrangement in such a way that Krishna decided that I'll kidnap Rukmini from there. Put her in the chariot and brought her home to Dwaraka. Isn't it? In the same way, the story is spoken to us only to tell us this important message. If you take shelter of Krishna, Abhayam is there, then Krishna will accept us. This is the agreement. You have to surrender first. When the surrender is not there, acceptance is not there. This is the way it works. So that is called in the Shastram as Varanam. Varanam means to accept something. So Varanam means I don't want anything else. I need only Krishna. I want only Krishna, nothing else. And that buddhi, that intelligence, it's called Nishchayatmiya buddhi. That determination inside. And that is Adhigarityam, qualifications. That is the qualifications. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned in a different way, isn't it? Vyavasayatmiya buddhi, egeha kurunandana. Bahushaga hanandascha, buddhayo avyavasayinam. In Bhagavad Gita, the truth is spoken straight. In Bhagavadam, through Rukmini Devi's marriage to Krishna, this message is what is being delivered to us. That Rukmini accepted Krishna as a husband. So that acceptance is more important than anything else. That means accepting or surrendering to Krishna. Rukmini surrendered to Krishna. It is, isn't it? So that is, Rukmini hasn't even seen Krishna. Even before that, she has made up her mind. And says to Krishna, that seven verses you have to read there, you will see that Adhigaritva means that certain qualifications like this, what Rukmini had, same thing. So the Shastram, when Rishis have given to us, that they have found out certain qualifications, what's necessary in spiritual life. So, whereas normally, good and bad, gunam, dosham, in the absolute level, it's all one. It's all one. Although you may see these good things, bad things spoken, but on an absolute platform, they are all one. There is no difference there. But when you come to the sadhana level, when you are in the realized state, these qualifications doesn't matter. What Krishna is talking about. They don't matter. Because you have come to the absolute platform. That means realization has happened. And then you will see these qualifications in them in a natural way. But when you are in the sadhana level, sadhana mandalam, it is called. In the sadhana level, the good qualities are closer to the truth, not the bad qualities. The divine nature is closer to the self-realization. Krishna is saying here, gunam dosham, and then in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying to us, guna dosha drishir dosham. To see good and bad itself is bad, he says. Is it not? So now you have to know in which level this chapter applies. This chapter applies in the sadhana level, sadhana mandalam. While we are sadhagas, we are performing sadhana now, is it not? We are chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So this is a sadhana level. In sadhana level, these qualifications apply. Because in the realized level, these qualifications don't apply. Because there, you have gone beyond these things. Gunam dosham. All this is finished. That's why in Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna says to Uddhava, what did he say? Guna dosha drishir dosham. Seeing good and bad itself is bad. Not seeing good or bad is good, he said. There. You see that difference where? So, where you are, depending on that, is all these things. Shastram is like that. We have to know how to apply Shastram in life. Otherwise, you will start thinking, oh, from tomorrow onwards, guna dosha drishir dosham, it doesn't apply to me. I won't look at anyone. If somebody is doing nonsense, let him do. And somebody is doing a great job, we are not bothered about that. That's not an understanding. Sadhana level, certain things are important. And these qualifications Krishna is talking about is all in the sadhana mandalam. So why, when you are in performing sadhana, in sadhana mandalam, these guna means this divine nature, are closer to the truth. Are closer to the truth, not the dosham, not the demonic nature. So they are far away from the truth. They are far away from the truth. This is important thing to know. To know where we stand, isn't it? We are performing sadhana, so for us it is important. But for a realized person who has gone beyond good and bad, for him all these things doesn't apply. It doesn't have any meaning to him. Because already he is in that state, he has realized the truth. That means if he has realized the truth, these qualifications will be there in him. And mainly because you may not see those qualifications in him. The reason being, his ego has gone completely from inside. So even if he abuses someone, or even if he criticizes or speaks harshly to someone, the effect of that is not the same as we do. If we deal with someone, suppose we deal with another person, we get harshly spoken or we speak harshly to someone, the effect on that person and the damage we do to ourselves is bad. But for him, why? Because we have false ego. Whereas that person who has realized the truth, he doesn't have any false ego. So when he says something rude or harsh to someone, it will not do any damage to him. No, instead, it will only improve the person who received it from him. See that difference there, how it happens. All this you have to look at. Otherwise, you just cannot take the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita and simply think that I'll follow this, I'll follow that. No, not like that. That the person is more important, from whom it's coming. In the Shastram, it is like that. From whom it is coming, that's what it is important. That is why when Krishna was in the battlefield, Kurukshetram, after so many people were killed, Krishna was still smiling, wasn't he? And when people will ask, what kind of God is this that is killing so many people and is standing and smiling there? Because in his level, this killing has no, because for him there is no thing called a body, isn't it? Material body doesn't exist. And in body has no meaning actually. From Krishna's eyes, this material body has no meaning. It has no existence. So when the body gets killed, Krishna knows very well the person is not killed. Body is killed. Is it not? It's just like you got cured a disease. How you feel better? Similarly, Krishna is looking at us. He got his disease cured once his body has gone. That's how Krishna is looking at us when he gets killed. So that is why, even in spite of the fact that millions were killed in that battlefield, Krishna was not disturbed about it. Whereas we will think, oh, so many people were killed in the battlefield. We will think in a completely different way. Why? Identity with the body. Krishna has no identity with the body, isn't it? So all these things you have to look at it, from whom it is coming. Who is saying this? That's more important in spiritual life. What he is saying, we may not understand. But who he is saying is more important. That is why in every chapter, Vedavyasa Maharshi deliberately says this, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. To know that it's coming from Krishna, the absolute truth himself. And therefore, there is no need to have any doubts about its validity or about its truthfulness or anything. You don't have to inquire about it. You can accept it as it is, Krishna has spoken. So, just like they say here, that the scientist example they give this, in the atom also they have this protons and electrons and neutrons and all those things. The negative particles, they are on the periphery, isn't it? If you look into the atom's construction, you will see there. Similarly, that negative charges are on the periphery and positive charges are close to the center. That there you can see that the center, they have no entrance in the atom. And you can see that certain things in the absolute level, only if you know these things, they have only entry up to a particular level. Self-realization is the center. These qualifications, it is required, but it will remain a distant from the center. You see? It has no entrance to the self-realized state. There, these are not important at all. This all you can forget about it when you realize the truth. But up to that point, like the protons and the neutrons, they are still around the atom. It is still rotating there. So, but if you don't have this, these qualifications, what Krishna is going to talk about, only then you can approach that center point in the center atom there. You can approach there only with that. In other words, whatever he may do, for example, suppose you practice dhyana, meditation, or any yoga bhyasam, any yoga asanam and things like that, or any other process if you follow, it will still be like, suppose you have stored water in a big huge pot, but it has got a hole there. It will keep leaking through that hole. Water will get emptied, isn't it? Similarly, these things, what Krishna is going to talk about, if these qualifications are not there, then that person, no matter how much sadhana he has done, no matter how much service he has done or any other spiritual activity he has performed, it will be like this water pot with a hole at the bottom. It will keep leaking, 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 and everything will go. Finally, everything will go. So sometimes you can see that people chant the holy name and sankirtanam, chanting the process, all these things. And similarly, yogasanam and meditation. And so many states people reach in doing all that thing. But all these things will not be there if this foundation is not there. This is the foundation. This is what Krishna is going to talk about. The foundation, what Krishna is discussing. Nowadays, we think make spiritual life a lot easier like that, isn't it? We think that spiritual life is all, oh, we just do a lot of service or a lot of chanting or a lot of other spiritual meditations and things like that, different things. And we feel that everything will come, everything won't come like that. What Krishna is saying to us is, in order that knowledge of the self to develop inside, self-realization, particularly for tattva-jnanam, that's what is important, tattva-jnanam. Tattva-jnanam means that, remember in the Bhagavatam in the beginning, Krishna spoke about tattva-jnanam. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna spoke about tattva-jnanam, isn't it? Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tattvada. That is tattva-jnanam. Tektva deham punar janma neidi vamedi sorjuna. He says there in that verse, isn't it? So, tattva-jnanam to develop, this is necessary. For example, bhakti process, suppose you have done a lot of activities, spiritual activities, without having these qualifications, it is possible that you may have some realizations. But the difficulty is, those realizations won't stay. They will go. Like the water that leaks out of the pot, it will leak. Today you will have realizations. Tomorrow, when some disaster happens in life, you are shaken very violently and you will be thrown out from the whole thing. Spiritual life, you can completely leave and go. That can happen. That is where tattva-jnanam is necessary. Remember in the Bhagavatam how Krishna puts that. Sudha Goswami said this to Shavanagrishi, isn't it? In the Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa, he says, Narto Yascheha Karma Bhi. That, what is that verse? That if you look into the first canto, you will see there in the second chapter. Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa, he says. Tattva Jitnyasa is, that is proper spiritual life. There are a lot of people practicing spiritual life in this world in different ways, isn't it? In bhakti process, you will see this. That, if you look into the first canto, it says there that, yeah, kamasya indriya preeti labho jiveda yavata. 10th verse, second chapter. Kamasya indriya preeti labho jiveda yavata. What is the profit from that? He's saying, kamam, desires for gratifying the senses. It will satisfy your senses. Labho jiveda yavada. What is the benefit from that life? Sudha says there. Jivasya tattva jityasa. Tattva jityasa is necessary. Tattvam realization is important. Jivasya tattva jityasa. Nartho anartha artho yascheha karma bhi. Not working hard, earning money. All these things is not the goal of life. Jivasya tattva jityasa. Dharmasya abavargasya na artho arthayova kalpade. Arthasya dharmai gandasya kamo labhaya hismada. Kamasya indriya preeti labho jiveda yavada. Jivasya tattva jityasa na arthoya sheha karmabi. Then after saying that, he says, vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam bhramedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdade. And that tattvajnanam is important. You can't write it off. That is why spiritual life with tattvajnanam is proper. So that is why Krishna is saying here, that the true tattva-jnanam, if it is there, in order that tattva-jnanam to stay inside. Because a person who is advanced in spiritual life, say for example a devotee, who has practiced devotional activities for a long period of time, say he stayed in the temple, executed spiritual life, always took prasadam, always followed the principles, always chanted the holy name, always lived very simple. Everything he has done. You will see, you can see these examples in the temple. If you look at people carefully, you will see. But due to their that simplicity of heart, association and their environment, that has made them to become Krishna conscious. They become Krishna conscious. In some way they have made progress in the Krishna. But you will also notice that when they have something happens in their life with their health or any other problems, what can happen? All their so many years of living in the temple, so many years of spiritual activity doesn't seem to be able to help them. At the time when they need it, it didn't hum. Why is that? Reason is this. That they practice spiritual life but without giving importance to Tattva Jinyasa. That is why in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, understand the Tattvam properly. Once accepting that Tattvam means foundation, that Tattvam will remain with you. Whatever you have studied and heard, it will only come to your help only if these qualities are there. That's what Krishna is saying here. Otherwise, it won't stand. It won't stand the test in a crisis when you need it. Many, many people have fallen off like that from spiritual life. You can see sannyasis fall, gurus fall. So many fall like this. Why? Tattvajnanam was not there. This is why it has happened. If Tattvajnanam was there inside, this will not happen. Because then you have accepted it properly, convinced about it. You won't see when a crisis comes. When Krishna is saying here that in the last chapter verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that when the greatest distress comes in life, the disturbance should not affect you inside. Guru Napi Vijayalyade, he says there, isn't it? In that verse, in the sixth chapter. Yam Lagdhva Chabaram Labham Manyade Nadhyam Tata Yasmin Stidona Dukhena Guru Napi Vijayalyade Tam Vidya Dukha Samyogam Vyogam Yoga Samyidam. This is proper spiritual life. Based on sentiments and based on rituals, you can develop a spiritual life centered around that. And that will have its effect, no doubt. But when you are in a crisis, when you need it, it won't be there. It won't be able to give you shelter. Because suddenly, it will throw you off the balance. You lose your balance. And that is why Krishna is insisting this. Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tada yasmin guru nivartanme Tido na dukkhena guru napi vijayalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samyidam. So famous words in the Bhagavad Gita. But most often people don't take notice of that. They think that, oh, I'm with the devotees. Association, association, we keep saying. What association? Association with like this, what is the use? Association has to be to strengthen the tattvam inside. Otherwise that association is no good. Isn't it? Suppose you have got along with another bunch of sentimentalists who are totally absorbed in a sentimental way or everything, worrying about the institution, worrying about all other, changing the world and all that, and thinking that everything will be alright. It will not be alright. It cannot be alright. Because that's what Krishna is saying here. That this tattvam, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if that has not gone in properly, then it won't come to your shelter at the time when you need it. When you need it. We just think that everything will be okay in the association, isn't it? It's not. It's not like that. So, that is why Krishna is going to talk about each and every one of them, one after the other from now on in these verses. As I mentioned there, this foundation, what Krishna is talking about, in reality it will only happen through Krishna's grace. That also we have to say. Not by your working alone. That Antaryami inside has to give it to us. Not otherwise, it's not going to. And now, by saying that, you're not trying to shed your responsibility from that. That, it's all, he's not given me, so what can I do? I don't have anything to do with it. That, because spiritual life is an unusual life. It's a very amazing thing, this spiritual life. Extraordinary it is, spiritual life is. It's a paradox. Spiritual life is a paradox. Paradox in the sense that only by Krishna's grace you will realize the truth. Only by Krishna's grace you will realize the truth. But how will you have Krishna's grace? Krishna's grace will come when you don't have any more false ego inside. Not even a trace of false ego. At that time, the the grace will come. Krishna's grace will come. How will the false ego will disappear when the grace comes? This is how it is. This is the spiritual life in simple terms, if you put it. This is how it is. That's why it's called a paradox. It is a paradox. That means only by Krishna's grace these qualifications will come to us. What Krishna is going to talk about. And how will that happen when we don't have a false ego. Not even a trace of false ego inside us. And that grace will come. And how will this false ego will disappear from us? Only through the grace. So if you ask the question, how is that? How can that happen? Isn't it? You may think like that. But you try. You see what happens. That is how it is. So, just like they say like this, this is an example given in a material level, the example is given that a pregnant woman asked this question, when will I have my child? He said, so the doctor said, when you have the labor. First you have to have the labor and after that you will have the child. So she asked, when will I have the labor? When will I have the labor? So the doctor said, when it is time for the child to come, you will have the labor. Isn't it? Similarly, only when the Krishna's grace is there, all these realizations, what we are going to talk about here in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavatam, and all other experiences, what we say, will happen. Krishna's grace is the first thing. And it is like the, you know, before the sun rises in the morning, we get the indication that sun is coming, isn't it? That is the time. Aruna comes first. The chariot, which is according to Vedic understanding, that Aruna comes in the chariot. That's why you get the light first. Aruna's arrival, then comes Aditya, comes later. So then Arunodayam and Suryodayam. That's the rise of the Aruna and rise of the sun later. So similarly, with the jiva, when the jiva is getting ready to realize the truth, at that point, all these qualities, what Krishna is going to talk about, will start appearing in him one after the other. So, this appearance of those qualities is what is addressed in the Bhagavatam as the qualifications of Rukmini, the beauty of Rukmini. Rukmini's beauty is well known, isn't it? She was highly beautiful personality. And that Rukmini's beauty is all those qualifications, what we are going to talk about here. So, it's not the external beauty what is spoken about. It's not the external beauty, isn't it? Rukmini, the word itself is from Upanishads. Rukma Varnam. The word Rukmini comes from Upanishads. Upanishads, they call it as Rukma Varnam. If you look into the Mundaka Upanishad, you will see this word there, Rukmini's name there. Rukmini means one who has got golden color. Golden color. Yada pasya pasyade rukma varnam kartaram esham purusham brahmayonim tada vidvan punyavabe vidhuya niranjanam paramam samyam upaidi. Mundaka Upanishad words it is. Rukma varnam. Rukma varnam means Rukmini's color. Rukmini's color. So, one who is able to see that Rukmini's color, Rukma Varnam, that such a person, Rishi is saying this. Rishis are saying this to us. When you see that color, that is what Jiva becomes to. Jiva comes to. So that person, he himself becomes in a golden color. Not only external golden color, that's what he's spoken about. Rukmini's Varnam, when we say Rukmini's qualifications, are these spiritual qualifications in her. That was her qualifications. Not that you should, we will read the story in the Bhagavatam and you will think, oh, Rukmini's DNA must be different than ours. Why she is color different than us? And people will think in a completely different way and they will dress up Rukmini in that way. We haven't seen Rukmini, but all the things what's spoken about Rukmini in the Bhagavatam is with reference to these spiritual qualifications. Rukmini's spiritual qualifications, that is what is spoken about. So, when Rukmini started seeing Krishna as the Antaryami inside, and when she recognizes that it is Antaryami inside who is present and who is my shelter, like the way Rukmini did, that Krishna is my shelter. Krishna is my shelter. And surrendered to Krishna in that way as the Antaryami, at that point, all that beauty what you have seen in Rukmini you will find in yourself. Others will see that in yourself. So not the external beauty, that's the most important thing. So when this divine qualifications, what is spoken here, divine nature, then when it comes in a jiva, in a jiva's case, it means that Krishna's grace has started falling into that person. Just like when the river falls into the ocean, at that time, the taste of the ocean will start experiencing in the river. Is it not? What is the difference? The ocean is salt water. The river is clear water. But when the river just enters into the sea, at that time, there is an overlap of the sea into the river. Is it not? So naturally the water at the very end of the river will be salty, because it's been affected by the ocean. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that the devotee or the person, when he is about to receive Krishna's mercy, these divine qualities, why is it called divine? Because these are all Krishna's qualities itself. They are Krishna's qualities. These qualities will start slowly trickling down into the devotee. So they used to talk about this when this tsunami happened. That Adyar River in Chennai, it flows into the river, into the Bay of Bengal. But that particular day people noticed that the river was flowing in the reverse direction. Normally when there was Adyar Bridge there, when you flow over there, you will see this. Water is flowing, the river flows into the sea. But when tsunami happened, tsunami pushed the water all back into the land. Isn't it? The ocean was pushing the water back into the river. So they noticed that the river was flowing in the opposite direction. One day when you are walking, the river is flowing one direction. Next day when you are going, the river is flowing the opposite direction. When tsunami happened. So similarly, when Krishna decides to enter into us and start changing us, these qualifications will all be the first thing that will happen. That is why it's not completely in our hands, all these things. What Krishna is going to say now here. It's not in our hands completely. It is that Krishna has to do it. And jiva, so when Krishna enters into the upadhi of the jiva, where does all these qualities come? In the upadhi, isn't it? In the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, and in the ego. That's where they enter. So when they enters there, that is what is called kripa. Krishna's grace means that. Krishna's grace means, Krishna's grace enters into these, our upadhi. It has nothing to do with Atma. Atma is independent. You have to look at it that way. Atma is totally independent. It's all happening in our upadhi, these changes are happening. Just like I mentioned there, in the periphery everything is happening. Like the protons and the electrons, which are not in the right in the center. Atma is the center. There nothing will happen, nothing will change. But in the periphery called this body or upadhi, all these changes will start slowly happening. And that is the time indication that Krishna's grace has started coming to that person. So, and when it happens, when that grace comes, Krishna's, these qualifications which are related to Krishna, Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga, Vyavasthiti, Dhanam, Damascha, Yajnascha, Swadhyaya, Stava, Arjavam, all these qualifications, Krishna says, one after the other will start manifesting in that person. And that is what Krishna is dealing with them now. Now you know what these qualifications means. It is Krishna's qualifications. Krishna's qualities they are. And those Krishna's qualifications will slowly start coming to us also when that grace comes from Krishna. And first one of them is this Abhayam. Abhayam. Abhayam Abhinandam. Abhayam means Abhirutam. Abhirutam means that Abhayam, when Krishna says like this, Abhayam Abhiruta. Ajari Swami mentions that. Abhayam means Abhiruta. Abhirutam means fearful. Abhirutam means fearlessness. Fearlessness. So Abhayam means this Abhirutam is not the way we talked about on the bodily level. This Abhirutam. That is the first quality Krishna is talking about here. If this situation comes, that fearlessness comes, he is almost perfect if this one qualification comes, because in reality it's not a quality. This is not a quality. Because totally the fear has gone from inside. The fear has gone from inside, and it happens only to in a self-realized state. Only a jnani who is realized will have this experience. Do you know this word anywhere else? Have you heard? What happened to Parikshit? If you look into Bhagavatam, what did they say about this? This is exactly the same thing. It was spoken. If you look in the 12th canto, what they say, what was the, in the 6th chapter or 5th chapter, he says like this, that if you look in the 6th chapter, Parikshit after self-realization, what did he say? Look at that verse. 12.6.5. Bhagavan takshagadibhyo mrityibhyo nabibhemyaham pravishto brahmanurvanam abhayam darshidam tvaya. That's it. See that? When abhayam happens. Abhayam happens at that stage. Bhagavam takshagadibhyo mrityibhyo na bibhemyaham. Saying to King, the Parikshit is saying to Shuka Brahmarshi, Bhagavan, addressing him as Bhagavan, takshagadibhyo mrityibhyo. I'm not frightened about takshaga. I'm not frightened about death. Na bibhemyaham. Why? Pravishto brahmanurvanam. I am already realized it, what I am. I know who I am now. Therefore, abhayam darshidam tvaya. I am fearless now. Abhayam, uses the word there. Abhayam, because I have seen that state of fearlessness. I have experienced it. Abhayam darshidam tvaya. So there is no more fear in me. This obviously shows what abhayam means, is it not? So that is how this verse is spoken. So sometimes some people ask this question after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. They say like this, that this Shuka Brahmarshi was a highly great personality, isn't it? He had a lot of siddhis, lot of yoga, yogic power. He was also a great yogi. You have to remember, Ashtanga Yogi, he was a great personality, Ashtanga Yoga. Jnani he was, plus a great devotee. So there was everything in him, isn't it? And why he just kept Parikshit like that? He could have done something better than this, isn't it? Some people ask that question. All questions people can ask, isn't it? So he could have stopped from Takshaka coming and biting him. He could have done that. If Shuka Brahmarshi wanted, he could have stopped Takshaka coming. He was capable of doing that. But instead, he kept him starving there for 7 days without food and drink, and told him, you just hear me, whatever I am saying. You sit there, just hear what I am saying, just hear for 7 days. Nothing else you have to do. It doesn't look very right. Some people say all these questions. People have got different ideas. They ask this question. And on the 7th day, what happened? The snake has come and bitten him at the end, isn't it? And instead of doing that, he kept on telling all kinds of stories for 7 days. Just storytelling. That's what is going. And somebody's story, you don't even know whose story it was. He says, Krishna's story, Rama's story, Prahlada's story. And he heard all this story, and finally the snake has come and bitten him at the end. Isn't it? Krishna has come and bitten him. So he could have stopped that happening, the snake coming and biting him. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why did he not do that? This question will ask. People are very clever. They will ask all kinds of questions. They are not going to accept everything because it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said like that. People will ask all these questions. They will say that why Shuka Brahmarshi did not do that? He could have done that. We'll answer that later. But what we have to understand here is that once it so happened, a person fell off in the Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls. He didn't die. It's such a huge thing, isn't it? Didn't die. And later on what happened was he was walking in New York somewhere in a street. He slipped on a banana skin, fell, got hurt, took him to the hospital. Something happened there and he died. So when he jumped out and fell from the Niagara Falls, he didn't die. But when he fell on a banana skin, he slipped and fell and then he died. So death is like that. You don't know which will cause death. It is wrong to think that only in certain conditions I will die. Not necessarily. Death can happen in any conditions. That's the first thing to understand about death. Death is not something will happen in a particular way, in a particular format. It's already written down that death will only happen in these ways. No. Various ways people die in this world. If you look at the world, you will see how people die. All sorts of death happens, isn't it? Like you saw it two days ago, that they were all sitting and having a good time in the pub in Glasgow. Who decided that the helicopter should come and land on their heads? Did any one of them think at any moment that this was going to happen? But no, death has to happen in a particular way, it will happen. There is no particular anything, how it will happen, that's not in our control. Nobody knows how death will happen. This is the message, is it not? That is the message, how death will happen. A tsunami comes, wipes out the whole villages, towns, everything goes, gone. Cyclone comes, goes 10,000, 20,000 people, goes away. So this illusion in us that death will only happen like this, I will get this illness at the end and then I will die and I will go for this treatment and this hospital, this doctor and these medicines and this diet, this will all save me. This is all Maya. There is nothing more than that. This is our misunderstanding about death. In reality, there is no guarantee to any of these things. Whatever you have thought about yourself, it may not happen. Something else may happen. So death is concerned, Krishna says like this, that if you try to escape from Tatshaka, Shukha Brahmarshi knew death will come in another form. Because Shukha Brahmarshi's understanding of death is different than our understanding of death. Shukha Brahmarshi knew that he has to go. And it has to happen through Tatshaka, it is decided. Shukha Brahmarshi knows that. Therefore, he didn't question that. He didn't change that. Instead, what did he do? He gave him what is deathlessness. Is it not? That is what happened to him. That aham brahma param dhamam brahmaham paramam padam. That paramam padam showed it to him. Deathless state. How death is happening is not important for Sukadeva Goswami. That is the important point you have to remember there. You have to look at all these things from, otherwise people will ask this question, oh, he could have stopped the death from Tatshaka happening, could have killed Tatshaka in some way. No, that is not Sukadeva Goswami's intention. Sukadeva Goswami's point is that death will come, if it is meant to happen, it will happen. I have no control over it. What I can do for Parikshit is to take him to that state where there is nothing called a death. That is real spiritual life. That is the proper way to take someone in spiritual life. Not tell him that you won't die. That's not the answer. Death will happen. Body will die. Is it not? And that is the point here. You are always seeing this example in daily life. But we don't look at this side. We think that, oh, death will only come in a particular form. Like illness or disease. That will also one form. But that's not the only way death can happen. Death can happen in various ways. Is it not? So that is the thing here, that it is a very unusual thing, this thing called death. When we properly evaluate the death, how it all happens in this world, it's pretty unusual way death happens. And death is for the body, and that will happen in its own. Each one of us are destined to die in different ways. We all won't die in the same way, would we? We may all die in different ways with different illnesses. If we die, at the end, I'm saying that death will happen in some different forms to us. Or it can happen in other forms, also through accidents and through getting killed by another living entity. Anything can happen to any one of us, is it not? So what is important here is, Shukha Brahmarshi did not try to change that process. He didn't try to do that. He said, Takshakadibhyo, Takshakani is meant to kill him, let him kill. Because Takshaka is only getting his body. He's not going to do anything with his self. Instead, elevate Parikshit to that state where he does not experience death anymore. That is the purpose of behind it. So, this incident is very well known in the among the spiritually advanced people. They will always won't accept death in the way we accept it. When we accept death, we put a lot of preconditions to death, but they don't. They don't. Tapovanam Swamiji, when he lived in Himalayas for a very, very long period of time, he never used to come down from Hrishikesh, down to the plain. He always stayed in the higher levels. He always used to spend his time. So, rest of his life, a major part of his life, he spent in the Himalayas. If you read his book, you will see Ishvara Darshanam, the famous book he wrote about the wandering in the Himalayas. He wrote a book. At that time, Himalayas were different. There was nobody trekking there, going with the helicopters and all that. So, what happened in his life was that he initially went to Himalayas first time, and as a sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana. He did perform sadhana a lot. That time he spent a long time first in the Himalayas. Then he thought that he went home afterwards and very well analyzed the Shastram, studied Shastram well. After spending time in Himalayas, he went home to his town, village, and he spent time at home studying the Shastram. And after realizing the Tattvam, he went back to Himalayas again. He mentions this in his what they call biography, not biography, about his experiences in the Himalayas. He wrote it like this, that after Tattva Sakshalkaram, after realizing the truth, self-realization, after that, realizing the Tattva very well, he goes to Himalayas again. At this time when he go, he's going as a realized person, he's experiencing there. And he himself has written about this. He says, I came to Himalayas first as a person who performing sadhana. But now I have come in a completely different realizations. And because right now, when I have come the second time, that realization of the self is very powerful inside. That it is making me to look at Himalayas in a completely different way. Initially, when he looked at Himalayas, he was seeing the beauty of the Himalayas, the difficulties in the Himalayas to live there. And he was glorifying Himalayas because of the great rishis who have lived there and who performed their penances and who are performing penances even today there. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinarada Maharshi, Uddhava, and many, many Devapi, Shantanu, all listed in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? They all have their ashramam in Himalayas. So he says there that I was trying to appreciate all that, their great presence here, but I didn't know that they were present here. I only read from the books. As a performing person, performing sadhana, I came here. But when I went back from Himalayas, and many years he spent home, at that time, he took a lot of effort to study the Shastram very well. He had good people to teach him, and with their association, and with this self-inquiry, what he performed, he had a very high degree of realization, and he goes back to Himalayas again. And this time, when he was in the Himalayas, he says, that every great sage who were present in the Himalayas, I felt that they were all very accessible to me. Because of that state of realization inside, he's saying here. So they say that even after self-realization, you still feel that there is something to be done in this world. So what has happened now? When you come back from Himalayas, and when you have done the self-inquiry, he went back to Himalayas again and he says there, I still had to remove the defects or deficiencies in my upadhi. Yeah? Deficiencies in the upadhi. Upadhi means what? Body, mind, intelligence, ego. All these things. There are shortcomings there. He says like this. So, to be situated in the platform of the self is not easy. It's not easy. Because even if you have realized the truth through Tattvajnanam, due to Upadhi Dosham, that means due to the deficiencies in the Upadhi, still you will wander around in this world. So he decided that my Upadhi Dosham has not completely gone. You see, so many things are happening in us inside, same time. You are doing sadhana. You are cultivating spiritual knowledge. You are engaged in the deity worship. So many things you are doing, isn't it? Simultaneously, you are doing all these things. And you are also trying to cultivate tattva-jnanam, which is the most important of all, isn't it? That tattva-jnanam is a major part of that. So, in this long ongoing process in spiritual life, at some stage, you may have tattva-jnanam to a good degree. It may not be perfection, but to a high understanding of tattvam, of the Bhagavad tattvam, Bhagavad Gita's tattvam. Bhagavad Gita's tattvam is what? That I am not this body, that realization, isn't it? And various other things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Those things are happening inside us. When those things are happening, our upadhi is not pure yet. Upadhi has got still problems. Upadhi dosham. It is called upadhi dosham. Upadhi dosham means all this. Ego. Trace of it. Getting anger. Getting angry. And envy. Or proud. Pride. Things like that. These are all upadhi dosham it is. They are called upadhi dosham. That means this transcendental qualities, what's required in our upadhi has not come yet. So, Tamavana Swamiji says there, I went back to Himalayas and I still knew that I had upadhi dosham in me. He had to deal with the people, local people who are living there. And it was not easy, always. It was not easy there. So, because that upadhi dosham has not happened, still there will be vyavaharam in this world. Once the upadhis are completely pure, then there is no vyavaharam after that, isn't it? Vyavaharam is only because upadhi is there. Upadhi dosham is there, that's why we call it as vyavaharam, is it not? So, that vyavaharam to completely stop, this upadhi has to get purified. Upadhi has to get purified. So, and that will take some time. That will take some time. So, so he mentions like this, Krishna's grace is necessary at that stage. Krishna's grace is necessary at that stage. He says here, even after knowing what is to be known, he mentions in that book, even after knowing what is to be known, little by little there is that power from Antaryami which is coming to help us. And when I was coming for the second time to the Himalayas, he says there that I did not feel the same difficulties what I experienced when I came the first time. First time, he felt difficulty with the cold weather. He felt a difficulty with the food. While wandering around in the Himalayas, you know that if you travel in the Kedarnath, Badrinath area, you will see what it's like there. There's no food grown there. Most of the food has to come from the plains, isn't it? It has to be brought from the land. And practically, those who are living there, they have a very difficult lifestyle in those mountains. When you look at many of those mountains there in the Himalayas, you start wondering, is this a land of spiritual life? Because there's nothing that grows there. No food is grown. And practically, all you have these two beautiful rivers, Alaknanda and Mandakini, which becomes later on Ganga River and all that. But apart from that, it's a lot of caves, a lot of hills, and a lot of grass, so to say. So he had a very difficult time, the first time when he went to Himalayas. But he says there, when the second time, when I went there, at that time, it was a lovely time, he says. I had a lovely time, because I only wanted that upadhi dosham must go away. Tattva-jnanam was already there. Tattva-jnanam was already there. So that was his experience. He mentions like that. So this upadhi prarabdham, upadhi is a prarabdham. Upadhi dosham is a prarabdham it is. We call by different names. All you know what I am talking about. It is our vasana inside. This is the best word to use, vasana inside. Our tendencies or our impressions inside. That upadhi prarabdham, that till that is gone, you will still do some work in this world. You'll be doing something or the other, isn't it? You won't go away easily. Just like you remember, I was mentioning about this Narayanatha Brahman story, a mad person among the 12 children of the Vararuchi. He used to whole day he used to roll this huge stone to the top of the hill. And in the evening, he will push it down to the bottom of the hill. Now, from our viewpoint, he's gone. But from his viewpoint, we are all gone. He's saying, so he was a realized person. He was a realized person. Why was he doing that? Upadhi prarabdham was still there in him. That is how to understand that. Otherwise, people would think, why was he doing that? Because there is some prarabdham in the upadhi. That body is not dropping away. You see? And the body is capable of doing work. And it needs some work to be done. So he thought that this may be the best engagement. He didn't think anything else. He thought probably by doing this that upadhi's needs are fulfilled. Just like you can see people after retirement, they go back to work again, isn't it? Why? Upadhi prarabdham is there. It doesn't go. So that is a upadhi prarabdham. Upadhi prarabdham catches us somewhere. Often you will find this. Generally what people do, they go after retirement, they will take to some kind of charity work or some kind of social work. Is it not? If there's nothing else to do. Why? Upadhi is not allowing them to move away from the work field of karma. Prarabdha vasana is there inside. So when that comes, we have to take it in that way, that understanding. That is what is pushing us to do all that. Otherwise, we don't feel the need to do anything. But that is a higher state. That won't happen easily. We all have that in us, prarabdham. And that comes in different forms. That's why even after spiritual life, there is no retirement. It's only material life. This concept of retirement and all is based on a particular age you retire and all that is material life. In spiritual life, till our karma vasana goes away from us, we have to do karma. That's the way it is. The karma vasana, that is why sometimes when we say, when in sannyasam also, karma vasana has not left. So what happens? Then they will do things in such a way, they will call it as spiritual and all that. But it is basically the karma vasana is pushing them to do it. Many things it is like that, running here, running there, building this, building that. In a person, when he knows that he has to leave this world in a short period of time, then still why this desire coming? It's a prarabdha vasana. It is upadhi prarabdham, that is, isn't it? So, so that is why Thabana Swami mentions there that when he was traveling the Himalayas, always traveling there, and writing all his memoirs, what he was experiencing there. He wrote it down in a book. And those who went to him to see him at that time, he taught them Vedantam very well to them. Many people, Upanishads and Vedantam, he was teaching them. It was at that time Chimayananda was spent his time with him and learned from him a lot of things afterwards. So he says like this, that Shishta Prarabdham, that means the remaining Prarabdham, till the body drops, that prarabdham was there in him. He spent his time there. And finally, in order that when the prarabdham is finished and the body is ready to drop, at that time some disease will come. It is not that, Prabhupada used to say this, that due to disease somebody has died. Nobody is dying out of disease. He is meant to die. Body's purpose is finished. Prarabdham is over. Is meant to die. At that time, there must be a reason for that, for the body to disappear and the disease comes. And that is how it is. That is how the death is understood. So, that time some disease will come. Even realized souls, it is like that. It will for them. So, jnanis also, that when the disease comes, it's a great austerity for them. It's a great austerity for them. So, I think I'll stop here. It's got past 5, isn't it?
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं वो महादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिका विदरणं विद्यावधू जीवनं आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वाप्नास्वपनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृश इहाजनि नानुरागाः तृणारविशुनीजेन तरोरपि सहिष्णुना അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹേ ദുഗിത്വേ ഐ നന്ദനനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം വിഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതദൂളേ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുലകേർനിശിതം കഥാ വപു തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനം മർമഹതം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ ദുലംബനോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാ സുന ഏവ നാപരാം. അഭയസത്വസംശുദ്ധേർ ജ്ഞാനയോഗ വ്യവസ്ഥിതി ദാനം തമശ്ചയജ്ഞശ്ച സ്വാധ്യായ സ്തപ ആർജവം. സോ ഗോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ദിസ് ഇൻസിഡന്റ് വി ടോക്ട് അബൌട്ട് തപോവന സ്വാമിജിസ് ലൈഫ്, ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി അറ്റ് ദ ടൈം ഓഫ് ഡെത്ത് വെൻ പ്രാരബ്ധം ഈസ് ഓവർ ദ ബോഡി ഹാസ് ടു ഡ്രോപ്പ്. അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം സംതിങ് വിൽ കം, some reason will come, it will be either takshaka or it will be diabetes or it will be cancer, whatever it is, the body has to go. Prarabdham is finished, that means that the body has to go. So therefore Upanishad says, Brihadaranyam particularly mentions this, he says there, when the realized souls, when they get diseased, it's a great austerity for them. At that time they, that's how they look at the disease, they think that it's another austerity in life to perform. Austerity means all kinds of austerity people perform, isn't it? Ekadashi fasting or spending sleepless nights in studying, chanting. These are all different ways of performing austerities in life. Controlling the diet, controlling the different penances what we do, all this. So for the realized souls, he says, Yadyeda vyahita tapasi esha asya paramam tapaha. It is a tapasya for them. When the illness comes, when they have to leave the body, they consider that they got another opportunity to perform some more austerity. That's how they look at it. So, in other words, when the disease is coming, when the body gets diseased, they are saying that what benefit they derive from that, they get this one quality called titiksha. They develop the quality of titiksha from that, which Krishna is going to talk about. If you look at it there, you'll see there. Dhanam damascha dashchasni swadhyayastava arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodam daya shanti abhaishanam tyaga shanti daya bodhe shalaluptam mardavam hri rajabalam tejasya kshama dhridi shaujam adroha adhima. That kshama, titiksha, is another way of saying that. That tolerance, able to tolerate, that's how they will take it as an austerity in them. So so when the disease comes for the body, they start looking at the body and develop that, they develop this titiksha from that, and because upadhi prarabdham is still there, so everything they utilize it as an opportunity to purify themselves, isn't it? So, and their jnana-nishtha. Jnana-nishtha means established in the knowledge, in that state. And finally, even though they are situated in the platform of knowledge, at the final days, when the disease comes for the body, body comes, body gets disease, isn't it? So, Tapovana Swamiji's disciples, who were educated, trained by him, they went up to him and told him that let's go to Delhi and let's have the treatment done in Delhi. All facilities are there in Delhi. There's no facilities in the Kedarnath and Badrinath. What facilities were there 100 years ago there? This is an incident happened about 80, 90 years back. So there was no, even traveling there was difficult. For the disciples were finding it difficult to get there by the bus and by the facilities are so limited. Unlike today, it's a lot better now. But them days there was no possibility of going there. So they were suggesting to him, if you come to Delhi, we can have a better treatment for this disease. So Bhavan Swamiji says to him that some of them even suggested, let's go to America. That's a modern system, isn't it? All spiritual leaders, they go to America for the treatment in the modern world. But when they said this to Tapavanam, Tapavanam says to him, is nobody dying in America and Delhi? He said, that was his answer. Is nobody dying there? He said, it was a straight answer to them. Because he thought that it was an absolutely ridiculous question to ask at that stage in life. And none of the disciples could answer that question when he asked that. Because death is such a thing that wherever, this is self-realization, isn't it? When you know what the truth is, when you are situated in the platform of the soul, then when these things happen, should not disturb, get disturbed over it. As Krishna says there, isn't it? Vidya, dukkha samyogam, yogam, yoga samyogam. Remember that verse in the 6th chapter? That when Krishna says there, that the yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nathiyam tada yasmin sidona dukkhena guru napi vichalyade. So even at the time of leaving the body, a yogi who has realized the truth, he will be like this. That it's not bothering him anymore that the body is going to go, I should go to Delhi or America for treatment. If he is thinking like that, that means his realization is very, very poor. Very, very poor. That yamlabdhva chabaram labham anyadhi nadhiyam tada. If you are not fixed in the platform of the soul, these things will happen in the end. At the end. That's what it is teaching us. That's what he's saying here. Tamvidya dukkha samyo. Krishna told us what is spiritual life, and Krishna also told us what it will be when you have realized the truth. That's all Krishna can do. Now, we can interpret it in any way we want it, but this is the truth. There's nothing else than this. Yam labdhva chabaram labham anyadhi nadhiyam tada. Tasmin, yasmin sidona dukhena guru napi vichalyade. Tamvidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyitam. Krishna's definition. So, this state doesn't happen very easily. It doesn't happen very easily. Only in rare cases, this will happen. So, that is why you will mention, it is mentioned there, he says like that, that the, that wherever you go, self-realization is the answer to all the problems. Fearing is our, with the birth we have got. When we got the body, along with that, the fear is also there. Fear is also there. So, only person who doesn't have any fear is jnani, realized soul. Only a jnani who has realized the truth, he doesn't have any fear. Why? Because he's not identifying with the body. As long as you are identifying with the body, you must have fear. This is the principle. This is the, and that's why Krishna is saying here that the yam labdhva chabaram labham anyadhi nathiyam tada. If you have realized the truth, that is the greatest profit. There is nothing else to profit from this world after that. And Krishna considers that this self-realization as the highest goal in spiritual life. Because after that, there is no more lamentation about anything. Though, yasmin sthidona dukhena gurunapi vichalyade. Even the greatest distress, if it comes in life, you won't be disturbed over that. To such an extent, Krishna has put it very crystal clear in the 6th chapter, this statement. Is it not? They say, tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyidam. He says, samyoga viyogam should not become a dukkham anymore. Our main distress is that, isn't it? Samyoga viyogam. People are coming in the life as family members and then they are leaving us as family members. Tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyidam. When you have freed yourself from this samyoga viyoga dukkham, then Krishna says that is yogam. That's yoga. That is the greatest distress, isn't it? People grieving, dying, going away, all these kind of things. So here, Krishna says here, only a realized soul is freedom from fear. Otherwise, it's not possible. So you can see that this one first quality what Krishna is talking about, abhayam, itself, what it all means, is it not? Janaka used to say, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, there is a major portion where Yajnavalkya instructs Janaka in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He says, Yajnavalkya Kandam, it is addressed in the Upanishad like that. And after every instruction what Yajnavalkya has given to Janaka about self-realization, he says to him that I will give you 10,000 gold coins. And like this, he tries to see his understanding. And finally he says to him, Janaka says this to Yajnavalkya, that I'll give this, I'll give that. And finally he says to him, hand over this whole Mithila city itself to you, he says to him. So, Mam Jaiva Dasiham, and then finally he says to him, I'll hand over myself to you. And at that time, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Janaka, you can read through, Abhayam Vai Praptosi. He says, so, when the moment Yajnavalkya's answer to Janaka is this, the moment you realize or you leave behind your false ego and you have reached that state of abhayam. That means abhayam, and who is actually fearful about false ego, is it not? So once the false ego is completely gone from inside, that is that state of abhayam. So that's what Yajnavalkya told Janaka about this. Yajnavalkya Maharshi was a famous personality. He'll come in the Bhagavatam at the very end. What all he did. He went against the instructions of his spiritual master and gave up everything. Whatever he was taught, he vomited it out to him. Then he went and performed penances and austerities and pleased the sun god, Vavaswan. And from him he got Yajurvedam's one particular branch called Shukla Yajurvedam. He got from him, and where Taittiriya Upanishad comes. So such a great powerful personality, who used to teach Janaka about self-realization in the palace, this conversation between them is a part of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, he says here, when we have fear, where is the fear? It is in the ahankaram, false ego. Is it not? Atma never has any fear. It is not Atma's nature. When we read all these things, only you can appreciate then how important self-realization is. Is it not? That very root of all our problems, fear of material existence, will only go when self is realized. And that is why, so, where is the false, where is the fear influencing? Where does the fear influence? It affects the false ego, ahankaram, isn't it? So, that is why ego, when you have ego, there is always fear. So, so that's why ego, someone on the web, you will notice this. He said, what is ego means? He says there, eject God out. He says, eject the God out from inside. So that means ego is also Krishna's another, Jiva is another Krishna's manifestation, isn't it? So throwing him out from inside is called ego. And as long as he is there, Antaryami cannot operate. Once Antaryami takes over, because up to that point, ego is controlling us. Ahankaram is running our life, is it not? But when we surrender to Krishna, when we have the knowledge of the self and fully surrender to Krishna, in that state, when the ego completely is wiped out from inside, then Antaryami dictates everything from inside. That is why two of them cannot sit together. Who? Ego and Antaryami. They cannot together stay inside. They find it difficult. Once that ego goes away, then you are completely free or liberated. So, this is the only difference between a liberated person and us. This ego. This is the only difference. So, Jivan Mukta, as he's called, he hasn't got anything special. Nothing has special happened to him. And instead, it is us who have got more than him. Some people ask this question, So you are saying that jnanis are seeing everything as soul, as presence of the soul in everything, isn't it? So somebody asked Maharshi this question, what do you see? What do you see? They asked this question to him. Generally they say jnanis are seeing everything as in relationship with Atma, isn't it? Atma's presence everywhere. So Ravana Maharshi's reply was very interesting. He says to him, whatever you are seeing, that's the same thing I am also seeing. The only difference is that you are seeing more than what I am seeing. That's how he answered it. Which is a very interesting answer, isn't it? Normally we say, I see more than you. He says, yeah, you are seeing more than us, more than us. Because we see the body, we see the mind, we see the intelligence, we see the ego, and we see all the other good and bad in us, ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, everything we see. But they don't see any of those things. So what he answered was that most of the things what you see we are also seeing, but you are seeing more than what I am seeing. To give him an impression that elevate him more, that you are seeing much more than us. Only I am seeing what actually exists. Only what exists is the Atma there. Now, other things don't exist as far as they are concerned. Isn't body doesn't exist. For them, body doesn't exist. That's a very difficult thing for us to accept that. But a realized person does not believe the existence of the body, because they know body is a product of the mind. And the mind is a product of some decision you have made in your intelligence at some time in the past, which has no reality. Intelligence has no reality, mind has no reality, the least of all the body has no reality at all, as far as they are concerned. So on top of this body, we have created ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam and all that. So as far as they are concerned, ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam and all has no real existence, isn't it? So actually, therefore, this state of abhayam is only in advaitam. It's only in Advaitam. Because bhayam, what we say, udaram andaram kurude adha tasya bhayam bhavadi tattueva bhayam vidusho amanyanasya. Vedam says like this, that amatvanasya jnanam, one who does not have the jnanam, one who does not have the tattva jnanam or the knowledge of the self, a second object that is present in this world is always creates fear. You see, that oneness makes important. You can see in the Kavi Maharshi's words, if you look there in the Bhagavadam, he mentions this, Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad avedasya viparyayo smriti. That explanation of that words is advaitam it is. Pure advaitam that is spoken there. Bhayam dvitiyal, Kavi Maharshi says, Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya viparyayo smriti tanmayayato bhudamabhajetam bhaktyegayesham guru devadalma. Bhaktyegayesham guru devadalma. It says like that. So, by Krishna's maya, due to Krishna's maya, we are separated from Krishna. We are separated from Krishna. That means I am seeing, I am separate. I have a separated existence. Individual existence. And I am separated from Him. That is a vigalpam. It is actually a vigalpam. And from that, I have fear. From that, I have fear. Bhayam means, it's not only fear, that this word bhayam, when they use there, it's not only fear, it refers to all other things like lust, anger, kamam, krodham, lobham, greed, moham, illusion, madam, pride, matsaryam, that competition and everything, ragam, dvesham, everything is a part of this bhayam. They are not separate. Bhayam means only just not fear. Don't mistake it that way. Bhayam includes all these things because bhayam originates from these things. Bhayam happens why? Bhayam means fear. Fear happens due to all these things. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, ragam, dvesham. These are all the effects which creates this fear inside. So, category, bhayam category, they are all included. In other words, basic self-protecting urge in us. We want to protect ourselves, isn't it, in all situations. That self-protecting urge, it will manifest in us in different forms. in the form of lust, anger, greed, fear. All sorts of things happen. Tragam, duesham, it's all due to that. So that self-protecting urge in all of us, and to protect us and make ourselves safe, and all that is thing, that is what it is addressed here as bhayam. That when Krishna says bhayam, that's what actually bhayam. Bhayam is one word which covers everything, because all these different emotions are a product of this bhayam. Security, or sometimes people say this self-preservation. Isn't it self-preservation? So all of us are looking for that in this world. That fear all the time. And people are saying that this fear comes to such a level that we always want to make sure that we are protected. We don't want to get involved in things when we think that there is some danger. Sometimes you don't want to get involved. Some people are fighting and you don't want to get involved with them because you feel that it may cause problems yourself. So you don't want to get involved. So like this, you can see that in various instances, people fear manifesting in different ways. Some time ago, people used to travel in the train a lot at that time in India, that people will bring food with them and they will share with others who are in the train passengers. They'll have, because long distance when you are traveling by train, that there are many places where you won't get food, proper food. And train may not stop particular places, long distance trains, it's some 48 hours, 60 hours and all that. So people will bring food with them. They'll pack and they'll bring with them for 2 days' journey. They'll carry the food with them. But what happened now? Ever since what happened was, people started poisoning others through the food and robbed them, jewelry and things like that. So nobody will accept food from somebody else. It's quite an unusual thing this is. Here it's different because here everyone is unit themselves, isn't it? Nobody is talk to anybody. You have to be introduced to talk to before to talk to someone. But it's different there. When there's so many people like that in a huge country like that, and so many people, always so much interaction going on, it's very difficult to be like this, isn't it? Separated from everything else in the world. So it is quite, at one time, 40, 50 years ago, it was acceptable that you will accept food if somebody has offered you in the compartment, who was traveling with you, and there was no doubts whether to accept that. But now, no. Nobody accepts food from anyone else now. It is very crystal clear. Even in villages, they are frightened. They are frightened. Why? Because this is what happens. They are poisoning others, and bhayam, what Krishna is taking here. So similarly, so many interesting things you can notice if you travel in the train in India, like this. In the past, when you travel the train, long distance particularly, you come with a huge suitcase or something, you push it underneath the seat and you go and sleep in the upper berth or whatever berth you have. Now you know what happens? when he comes with the box, he'll make sure, or in the platform itself they are selling these thick chains. And very powerful lock also with the key. So first thing what he does is he puts the suitcase and tie it down to the seat. And he put the lock, locks it nicely, and then he goes and sleeps in the berth. And now these thieves are so expert. They have got these things close to cut this off and break it. And there is nothing much in this suitcase or in the box. Only a few clothes, set of clothes or something like that. But all gone. This is India today. What things have changed. As I'm saying, how things can change like that. So people, they had that fear has come like that. That fear has come like that. So in the past they didn't have. Sometimes they use the bags to use as their pillow and they will sleep. And they won't complain about it. If somebody wants to take it, let them take it. It was like that before, but now nobody does that, isn't it? Because sometimes people are checking themselves, am I still there? Have they stolen me as well? So much fear in the mind. Everything, all the night. That's why most of the time they don't sleep in the train. In the night, if you observe, they're always keeping an eye at the movement of everybody else. You don't know who it is, what will happen. Luggage could be gone. Otherwise, when you get down in the morning, you don't have any baggage to carry, to worry about. This is that fear that has happened in us. This is in one level. Look at our own life here, how fear has influenced all our life here. Everything very fearful about, is it not? Otherwise this alarm system won't sell like the way it is selling. Bhayam, fear, that is the cause behind it. That everything we have to be fearful about. Bhayam, that's what he's saying here. Bhayam, why this fear? Dvidiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Dvidiyam, that there is a vastu separated from me existing outside. Separated from me. Remember this, that as long as we have this realization that something exists separately from me, we have to have fear and we will have distress also. Dukkham also will come from that. Only when you know that nothing exists outside me, dukkham will go. There is no other solution to dukkham. Distress will never go away till you have come to this realization. Gopi says this to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, you can read that. That as long as we are thinking that separately from me something is existing, you have to have the experience of distress in life. You will never be able to come out of it. This is the principle. This is the principle. That is why bhayam dudiyal abhinivesha tasyal, fear, distress, these things will never leave us till this object that is existing separated from us goes away from us. Va ishat abhedasya viparyayo smriti. Our memory has not come to that stage. If there is a second vastu, second object or a second person, bhayam must be there. Fear must be there. Remember that verse in the Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrihari has spoken about bhayam. Bhoge roga bhayam. Isn't it? Bhoge roga bhayam. While enjoying anything, you are always frightened about the disease. What is going to come after that? Isn't it? And finally, he said, Vairagyam eva bhayam. He says, Vairagyam is the only solution to the problem. Vairagyam eva abhayam. Vairagyam alone is the abhayam. He says like that. Isn't it? Vairagya Shatakam. It's an amazing creation. Bhartrihari was an important personality. He wrote these two books, Vairagya Shatakam and Niti Shatakam. He writes like that. And then later on he wrote a book called Shringara Shatakam. Three books he wrote finally. So here he mentions like this, that when you are enjoying senses, Vishaya Bhogam, that is when it's saying like this, that what enjoying life means, sense enjoyment, isn't it? Always when you are enjoying the senses, there is a fear behind it. Will I get sick? Is it not? Whether any kind of sense enjoyment if you take, there is always the fear hidden behind it. Will I get sick? Suppose somebody brought some nice fresh hot gulab jamuns and given it to you. 50 of them. You will not take it, would you? You will get fearful. Not that you don't want it. You like it. But you know what it is. To take it, what will happen? So, bhoge ryoga bhayam. That disease, will I get sick? That fear will come. Kule chuti bhayam. That you born in a good family. And then you feel that if I do something wrong in my life, it will affect the whole family's reputation and things like that. That is kule chudibayam, wherever you have born. So sometimes it happens. Parents are worried that, if my children go in the wrong way, what my other members in the family will talk about us. Oh, his children have gone completely. They didn't know how to look after their children properly. They didn't guide them properly. Sometimes children go in the wrong way, directions, isn't it? And some things in there, due to their prarabdham or due to their destiny, something has happened in their life. But relatives and all, they will get on to your nerves. They'll say, why did you not do this? Why did you not do that? There's nothing you can do about it. It's their prarabdham that has created that situation. Isn't it? So that thought can fear, that fear in the parents always fearful, will my son or daughter will go and do something wrong and create a bad name for us, and all this kind of fear generally happens, isn't it? So, and that creates depression and other problems. So our pride is feeling that it's something important in my family, I am a little bit more conscious about that, my reputation and things like that. So their fear he is in a very subtle level operating in everyone's mind. Everyone's mind. So, in some people, it is in a different way, that they are taking shelter of the wealth. And that pride, I have got so much wealth. And that the fear, they are having the fear that, am I going to lose all that wealth? So, through some government rules or some collapse of the bank, and if you have lost and suddenly you become a very poor man in this world, what will other people will say about me? That I become so poor, and they will say, oh, one time he had a lot of money, but he is very poor now. And when you hear that, you don't want to be there anymore, isn't it? Well, similarly, Bhartrihari says there, it can be stolen by the income tax, inland revenue. You may have earned some money long ago, but suddenly after 4 or 5 years, income tax is sent, inland revenue is sending you a letter. You owe us so much money, you are not paid. And then you feel a heartbreak. Oh, I have to pay all this money back to them. So that is why our income tax people and things like that, they can take the money away. In the Bhartrihari's language, the king will take away what he has to take away from you, isn't it? So, and some other people, they feel that they are very religious in life, and people will talk about me, that I am a fraud, I am a cheat or something like that. That fear inside. For those who have that reputation, who consider that reputation, that I am a really spiritual person, I am a religious person. But if somebody writes something about you, knocking you down, that oh, he's after money, or he's after women, or he's after something else, and something like that appears on the web or in the newspaper, that fear, will somebody ridicule me in some way? That's another fear. So, and you don't want anyone to talk ill about you. That's also another thing. So Vidyarani Swamiji says this, that nobody can stay like this. He says that it was the same problem what had happened to Lord Ramchandra also. Lord Ramchandra had to suffer because of this bhayam. The same bhayam what we are talking about happened to Ramchandra also. Is it not? What happened? At the end, Uttara Ramayanam, if you read, you will see there. And Shuka Brahmarshi has really given a heavy time for Ramchandra on this in the Bhagavatam. He says, if you are attached to women, this is what will happen, he said to him. Pointing out to Ramchandra like this, he says in the Bhagavatam that this is what will happen. Of course, Ramchandra's case, when you say this, Shuka Brahmarshi can say that. We can't say that. Shuka Brahmarshi can say that. You see, because when Shuka Brahmarshi is talking about Ramchandra, he said certain other things about Ramchandra. You shouldn't forget that. When he talked about Ramchandra in the 5th canto, what did he say about Ramchandra? He says, Martyavatarasya Martya Shikshanam. You have taken this human form to teach the human species. That if you take the human body, you will have to suffer. In order to teach that, you have come in the human form. After saying that, he is saying this in the 9th canto about Ramchandra. What did he say? Stri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradhayam Chachara. That is the word in the Bhagavatam. If you are Stri Sangi, if you are attached to women, their destiny is this. About Ramchandra, he is saying this. What was that destiny? When Sita Devi finally, because Vashramana has spoken that to his wife, that they fought each other, husband and the wife. Vashraman's wife went away and stayed with her parents for a few months till things get cooled down. That's what they happened. Then she came home. When she came back home, the husband says, I will not take you back at home. You go away. You left me and gone, and you gone and stayed with so many other people. I'm not going to accept you back, he said. Ramchandra that night was traveling in a different incognito. In dress, he was traveling, and he heard this conversation between husband and wife. So he realized that people must be talking about me the same thing. That Sita Devi has gone and stayed with Ravana for some time, and she has come back, and this is our king. He is accepting her. Those days, these things were considered important. Nowadays, it doesn't matter. You come, you go. Come, you go. Who cares? Everything. It's all like that. This is a different world altogether we live now. But anyway, they had respect for all these things. The society was like that. Ramchandra said, I can't accept you, and called Lakshmana. and told Lakshmana that take her and drop her in the forest and come back, he said. And that's the only instance when Lakshmana disagreed with Ramachandra. Up to this point, as a younger brother, he listened to everything what Ramachandra has said. Went with him to the forest, involved in the Ramayanam war, helped Ramachandra everything, and such a trustworthy younger brother Lakshmana was. And that Lakshmana disagreed with Ramachandra at that time. And that was the time Lakshmana told Ramachandra, if you are going to come another time, don't make me your younger brother, he said. He told this to Ramachandra. And that is the reason when Ramachandra came as Krishna, he agreed also to Lakshmana. Said, next time when I come, you won't be my younger brother, you will be my elder brother. But younger brother or elder brother, he won't listen. That's what happened, isn't it? When Subhadra Devi was to be married, Krishna says that Balram is the elder brother. Balram caught Arjuna after all that, because everything was engineered by Krishna himself. Subhadra's marriage to Balram wanted to marry Subhadra Devi to Duryodhana. That was the plan. But Krishna said no. But instead of saying this to Balram directly, masterminded the whole plot, arranging with Krishna, Arjuna, his sannyasam, and receiving him at home, and making Balram to invite the sannyasi home. Sannyasi comes home, and real sannyasam it was. Between Subhadra and Arjuna, that romance started. And then Krishna took Satyabhama's help, asked Satyabhama, what should we do with these two? He said, Satyabhama said, put them in the chariot and let them go. Subhadra knew how to drive the chariot. Together got in the chariot and escaped from there. Balram came to know. Bhagavatam says, when Balram came to know about it, he was like an ocean roaring with the anger. Where is this Arjuna? I want to finish him off now. And took this plow and mortar and wanted to finish up Arjuna there. Then Krishna calls him back. Tells him. So, whether it is younger brother or elder brother, it doesn't matter. As far as Krishna is concerned, he will do what he wants to do. So many instances you can see if you look into Bhagavatam, very interesting things. So, here it is, this is what happened. That Lakshmana had to listen to Ramachandra because Ramachandra's fear, what people will talk about me. What people will talk about to me. Because of that, he says to take Sita Devi to the forest and leave her there. He did that, and Lakshmana didn't tell Sita Devi what he was going to do. Lakshmana told Sita Devi, when Sita Devi thought that sometime before, when she was pregnant with Leva and Kusha, she said to Lakshmana that after they have come back from the forest life in the forest and the war in Sri Lanka and all that, when they came back, Sita Devi once mentioned to Lakshmana, I would like to go and see that forest where we spent 14 years together in the forest. I would like to see the beauty of that forest, the beauty of the animals there, the trees there, and all the great sages who lived there, their ashrams. I would like to visit that, all those places. Sita Devi mentioned this to Sri Ramachandra once. So Sita Devi thought that Lakshmana is going to take me there for that. So he couldn't say this to her directly. It was breaking his heart. He was breaking his heart. But when he got there, they got down from the chariot. Lakshmana paid his obeisances to Sita Devi and told her that I have been told to do this. And that was a shock to Sita Devi. Sita Devi's greatest shock, that is what it was. And then the two children were born, Leva and Kushala. Fortunately, Valmiki Maharshi brought them up in the forest. Valmiki's ashram, that's where she was left behind. And then you will see in the Ramayanam how Leva and Kusha, of their grown up to the big boys, they were sent back to the palace to see the father. All those very touching scenes in the Ramayanam. Very famous part of the Ramayanam it is. So, why did Ramachandra do that? Bhayam. Fear about the society. So, fear about the society is there in everyone. In everyone. But sometimes what happens is the society becomes so shameless. There is no fear doing anything. That's what happens. isn't it? And the modern society is like that, very much so. That there is no shame in doing anything. Everything is acceptable. That's your business, not my business. Hippie attitude. Hippie's nature. You do what you like, I'll do what I like. Don't get involved with me, I won't get involved with you. This is the modern society, isn't it? You can do anything. No shame in doing anything. That's the modern society, and that makes it very difficult when it becomes like that. That's why no one cares anymore about anything, isn't it? So here it says that that Bhoge Rogabhayam. Finally he says Vairagyam Eva Abhayam. Vairagyam is the only shelter in all these things. So here Vidyarani Swamiji says here that Ramachandra had this problem, that he says that he wanted to be an example in this world. We always call Ramachandra like that, isn't it? Maryada Purushottam. Maryada means he kept that, the decency, dharmam in life, and an ideal person, how he should live in this world. He showed all that. His relationship with his brothers, with his parents, and with generally with all the public was very ideal, very ideal person. Too ideal to become like that. This is what happened to all of us. We read Ramayanam, we see Ramachandra's life in this world because it was meant to teach us this lesson, how to be an ideal person in this world. But Krishna understood, these lot will never become ideal. That is why when Krishna came, the whole pastimes were in a different nature. It was not very ideal in all the pastimes when Krishna is concerned. Ramachandra was so particular that in that life he said, I will accept only even one wife, no more. Whereas in Krishna's life, there was no limitations on that, is it not? So you can see that he wanted to show this to us. Everyone, if you want everybody to say good things about you in life, that is also not possible. Somebody will be there to find fault with you. So when Krishna avataram happened, in Ramachandra's avataram, dharmam and all these things were highest priority. Krishna avataram, Krishna says, I care a damn for any of these things. That is what Krishna avataram is teaching us. You must compare these two incarnations, Ramachandra's avataram and Krishna's avataram, and then you will see the differences. What is the difference? We just say, oh, I'm Ramachandra's devotee and Krishna's devotee. That's okay. But what is these two different appearances of the truth teaching us? The absolute truth is manifested in these two different forms, isn't it? Ramachandra and Krishna, both equally important appearances. It's not like Malsyam Kurmam Varaham Narsimham Vamanam Parashuram. Not like that. These two incarnations, Krishna Avataram and Sri Rama Avataram, is particularly important. Particularly important. And they are considered as, by the all the Acharyas, they consider as the Purna Avataram. Both of them are complete in all aspects. And both of them had shown its potency in their appearance here. Krishna Avataram in one way, Rama Avataram in another way. But the difference you have to take notice of between Ramachandra and Krishna in their dealings with the world, how they reacted to situations. Martyavadara Siha, Martya Shikshanam. This is only to teach us, as far as Ramachandra and Krishna is concerned, all this doesn't matter. Krishnavadaram, Shuga Brahmarshi justifies very much. When Parikshit Maharaj asked about Rasadams, about the gopi's relationship with Krishna, if you read the answer, what Shuga Brahmarshi has given there, you can see there that he says that when great personalities, when they do, they are like the sun. Nobody can find fault with the sun, isn't it? So similarly, Krishna is like the sun. When the sun does something, you can't complain, you can't question the moral or anything behind it. Ordinary people in the society, you can question them. But very powerful personalities, when they do something, you can't question their actions. Their actions are beyond our question. They are so big, so powerful. But you can learn their you have to take their instructions seriously and teachings and live by that. That's all you have to do. So this important point that the same thing has happened with Jesus Christ also. You will see that. Big personalities comes and then people start analyzing him from our mundane point of view, and they start doing research about his life and trying to prove various things, isn't it? So that is why you will see, if you about Jesus, if you Google, you will see the Gnostic Gospels. There is a separate written by Elaine Pagels. That's one where you will see it has been banned in many places. The Catholic Church has banned that, saying that that is not the proper, because that completely defies institutionalized Christianity. Therefore, they banned that, because institution to survive, sometimes you have to defy the authority also. It happens all the time in spiritual life. This is that if you want an institution to survive, sometimes if you take everything what Krishna has spoken, sometimes institution will be difficult. So that's why editing starts then. Then you start editing the books. Because this is how it happens. You see, a necessity comes that to adjust with the society and to get accepted in the society, the teacher's teaching, sometimes you have to defy. And you are representing that institution on behalf of the teacher. Krishna has spoken many things, isn't it? If you publish all what Krishna has spoken in this world, your institution won't survive. So in order that the institution to survive, you have to defy all the instructions of the teacher. It ends up like that. It ends up like that. This is what we find all the time. So then we start our own interpretations. Remember I mentioned yesterday, the Satan's job starts. They sit together, the disciples, they say, no, we'll make modify all these things, what Prabhupada has said, to suit the society, so that in society we will be accepted by others. Everybody wants to get accepted in the society, is it not? Because many things Prabhupada has said, as they say, that if you publish it as it is, as they have spoken, it'll cause a lot of difficulties. You can't preach anymore, you can't collect funds anymore, they will not give you money anymore. They'll stop it. So therefore, we have to cover up all that part, not to publish it. Why? Because of this problem. So that is why, similarly in Jesus' case, you can see in the Gnostic Bible, if you read Gospels, you'll find there's so many things what he has spoken. And that was not acceptable to the rulers of that time. They will not accept it, the ruling class. And as well as the institutionalized authoritarian church won't accept it. So what did they do? Change the whole thing. And then they made him a son of God and everything, but they won't accept everything what he is saying. They have a problem there, because if you accept all these things, the authorities in the established church won't be able to behave like the way they are behaving today. They cannot, because they are not accepting him. They are only using him, but they are not accepting him. And the same thing can happen in any religion. In any religion, purity will go through the window. Everything will become institutional. What is important is institution must survive for them, not the teachings. Teachings comes later. You can't be loyal to the teachings and loyal to the world. They have come to change the world, to teach the world. They have not come to adjust with the world, isn't it? And that is the problem. That is the biggest problem. We have to know these things in spiritual life. Otherwise, you will become institutionalized, as they say. And then you will continue thinking that everything is fantastic. It's not fantastic. It is all, you are going in the wrong way, following the wrong things. And that is why. So you can see here that when Jesus' case also it happened that there was going to be some descendants from his family, and they are going to follow these principles and teachings. They have immediately changed everything. And they started saying that so many things were wrong with him, who are following him. And among them, 12 or so disciples joined together, and they edited the Bible and they introduced it into the society, and that's what is available today in the modern world. And that's what people are following, that the pure teachings of the Jesus, nobody able to follow it. They can't take it on board anymore. So in the same way, Krishna's case also, if you take it, 16,108 wives Krishna had, and he had 10 children in each of those wives. Isn't it? And he says that Catholic priest asked this question. He said, "There's 16,108 wives for the God, He said, and each one of them, he had 10 children, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are talking about, he said. So, and so the answer was that only if he is God, he can have it. Nobody else could do this, isn't it? 16,108 wives and 10 children from each one of them, isn't it? So, and after all these 16, so the conversation happened between a sannyasi and a priest in the train and came out later on. So he was arguing very strongly, what kind of God is this? He has got 16,108 wives and 10 children from all each of those wives. And so the sannyasi told him, even after 16,108 wives, he is totally in shanti. Swastham. He is situated within himself. He is not disturbed about anything. And in that shanti state is when Kuchala, Sudama goes to see him. Isn't it? Sudama goes to see him. So Sudama asked Krishna, how are you? He said, they were friends in the school days, isn't it? So Krishna says to Sudama, totally in shanti, he said. Even after the 16,108 wives, Krishna is saying, I am in total shanti. Sudama says also, I am also feeling great shanti inside. So, so what we have to understand here is, Mahavishnu lies in the ocean, isn't it? Ocean of milk, okay. It's milk ocean then. It's lying there, and but still he's in the ocean, isn't it? And where is he lying? On top of a snake. On top of a snake. Imagine that. Suppose somebody tells you there's a snake underneath your bed. You will get frightened. Here, he's lying on top of the snake and he's not frightened. He's not frightened at that. So, so you can see those who have traveled in the ships, they know this. The ship keeps rocking, isn't it? Especially in the rough weather. So, here, he is lying in the ocean, which is already rocking. And on top of that, he is lying on top of a snake. Adishesha is lying there, isn't it? And he is sleeping there. He can sleep in spite of all this rocking going on in the sea and the snake. You can imagine these two things is more than enough. Normally you can't sleep in, it's very difficult if you cross some of the, it's not so bad the English Channel, but the other side, Irish Sea, if you cross, it's always rough. Or if you travel to France, to Le Havre somewhere, you will see the whole night the boat is going on all the time. It's rocking the boat and you can't sleep. It's very difficult to sleep. And not only that, you're on top of that, the snake, Adishesha, and he's still getting good sleep. And he's getting good sleep also. So, and in addition to that, Lakshmi Devi is at the lotus feet, massaging the feet, isn't it? So, when Lakshmi Devi is sitting with you, how it is getting so good sleep? That's another question there, isn't it? That is why, if you look into Vishnu Sahasranamam, when it begins with these things, it started the verses itself. Shandakaram, Shandi in Vishnu. Shandi, all the time, Shandakaram. Bhujaga Shayanam, lying on top of the snake. Bhujaga means snake, isn't it? Adishesha. Bhujaga Shayanam, Palpanabham Suresham, from the Nabhi, from the stomach, comes that lotus flower. Palpanabham Suresham, Vishwakaram Gagana Sadrasham Meghavarnam Shubhangam Lakshmi Kandam Kamalanayanam Yogi Hridhyanagamyam Vande Vishnum Bhavabhayaharam Sarva Logai Ganatham. That Vishnu's fearlessness is what is spoken there. Vande Vishnu Bhavabhayaharam. One who takes away the fear of cycle of birth and death. Bhava means cycle of birth and death. Sarva Logaika Natham. Mahavishnu's position is that who is capable of removing this fear of cycle of birth and death, who is capable of removing that Vishnu, we pay our respectful obeisances. Says that verse in the 1000 names of Vishnu. Begins with this verse. It's the glorification prayers in the beginning of that. Visham Vishnu Vashalkaro, the prayer begins. But prior to that, these are the verses spoken as the invocation prayers for the Vishnu Sahasranama. So bhayam, only in the realized state there is no bhayam. There is no bhayam. There is no bhayam. So we'll stop today. Continue next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.